thought we were recording all that.
No.
No, sorry.
That's okay.
It's all good. It's all good.
No, I was really happy with the enthusiasm, the turnout, and
yeah,
because generally my groups aren't big gamers, but this was the kind of game, definitely the kind of game to take to them to get an opinion on. So
yeah, I played it with them, and it was an absolute blast. We had a good time. My future daughter-in-law, the way things are going, thoroughly enjoyed the game.
Now,
the oldest is playing a little Mormon Hold'em?
No.
This is the one that had issues?
No. This is Aiden's girlfriend. Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
I'm trying to dance yes. around.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I forgot about that. Yeah. Yep. That has, since that night, that has taken a surprisingly positive turn.
Can be life-affirming, I guess.
Yeah. Needed, due to the family situation, there needed to be a little bit more communication between family members that wouldn't normally communicate.
Okay.
But since then, it's going well. So, hey everybody!
Welcome to Two Fools Rushing In. I am Jeff Bookman.
I am Chad Kreider.
And I am Koff.
He is not dead.
I am alive.
Not that anyone listening to this would know that...
I missed last week, because last week was all D&D, right?
Yeah.
No, there was a regular midweek show.
Well, no, recording last week.
Oh, yeah.
Last Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I had the plague, so these gentlemen took up the torch and carried on.
Yeah, and at some point in the future, you'll get to listen to a dwarf try and fuck something he shouldn't.
That's pretty much...
Saturday.
That's
a Saturday. It was in the second part.
Oh, so last Saturday was the first part?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'll have to listen to it.
Yeah.
Okay, I am behind.
I can get my update before
the
12th when we're scheduled.
Well, if I put the episode up early enough in the day on the 12th, I guess you could listen to it on the 12th. Yeah. But it's the final piece ended up like 2 hours.
Oh, is it 3?
Yeah, it's
how late were you guys here?
It was like 1:30. Yeah.
Okay. Because I remember hearing that I can't be there till 1.
And then it was like 1 came and went. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm going in at 9.
Well, you decided before we started the third one that...
Turns out I wasn't expected it until...
Oh, okay.
It's all good.
So it worked out perfectly.
There you go. So, what's everybody been up to?
I have watched a lot of movies.
Have you?
Yes.
Okay.
Good movies? Bad movies?
I saw the first Equalizer.
Good movie.
Last week... Denzel Washington.
I have not seen
based
that.
On the TV series?
That's on Netflix, right?
I don't know.
The first one might be. The second one is...
I picked it up off the PlayStation Network because it was deeply discounted as part of their Christmas
set. It's not a bad movie at all.
No, it's fucking fantastic. I had heard Kevin Smith give a review of it and was talking about how he's like, they were coming into the third act. And I thought, they can't possibly do the whole third act in a Home Depot. And they did the whole third act in a fucking Home Depot.
Okay. It is on Netflix. I thought so. I was,
it's a good time.
It's absolutely worth watching.
We bought a soundbar, and I was trying to find an option to properly dial in the soundbar. And I thought I remember seeing that on the list.
Yeah, him doing the sequel is a big deal because Denzel Washington...
Doesn't do
sequels. So,
if
nothing else, that lets you lead you to watch the first one because what convinced him to do a sequel?
He also historically doesn't phone in a performance.
No, right.
No.
Even in the most terrible of movies that he's been in, it's not because of him.
No.
I'm trying to think of a truly terrible movie he's been in.
Like Philadelphia.
You didn't like that?
He was just the lawyer in it, right? It really was Tom Hanks and Philadelphia that was everything.
No, well, I mean, it was the both of them. That was light baiting.
Okay, I mean he was good, but it was Tom Hanks' portrayal that was.
I mean, I wasn't even a fan of Training Day. I'm not a fan of the movie.
I don't know that I've ever seen it.
Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, I know what that is.
Okay,
Denzel. King Kong got nothing on me.
That is a fantastic monologue.
Yeah,
when he's standing at the end of the cul-de-sac. And the random ghetto folk are just out kind of looking at this madman in the street, and he's just ranting and raving.
Very yeah. Clark Griswold, kind
of? No, just like, oh. This is just batshit.
Oh.
Yeah.
So is Clark Griswold.
But,
Where's the title?
But absolutely fantastic. Then, over the weekend, did a double feature of Spider-Man Homecoming and then Venom, because I wanted to see Venom.
Okay.
How was Venom?
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I enjoyed the shit out of it. Now.
Loyalists are pissed because the origins changed again, but...
I completely overlooked... I was willing to overlook all of that because I enjoy Tom Hardy.
Yes.
He's not hard on the eyes.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
And... I had seen all the mixed reviews, and yes, some of the special effects are a little like spawned from the 90s.
Okay.
Like rubber suit, you can kind
of... What? Not even, like, it was CGI.
Okay.
Obvious CGI?
Yeah. Okay. And then it's been out for
a while. In comparison, Homecoming was awesome.
Yes, Homecoming was fantastic.
Yeah. I watched that.
That's a good movie.
That just continues the trend that Liam Neeson started with Taken of older men doing action-y roles.
Oh,
Michael Keaton. It just continues the vulture,
which is only fitting because the Vulture is an older person,
right?
Yes, yeah, but it's always been an older thief, an older character.
But it was no, I mean it. But it was beautifully done, and that was nice. Venom was
the whole
Venom was
the whole right. scene in the warehouse. How long's it been? What? That was great. It's been 13 minutes. What? He thinks he's like getting there for hours.
See, I enjoyed that tense showdown in the car.
Yes, as he's walking up to the house, I'm like, oh god, no, yeah, I totally predicted it. And then I'm like, yeah, this is not going to go well.
I'm not seeing it.
I didn't... The MJ reveal at the end was the one that was like, oh, that's where she's at? Okay.
It's not her, though. That's not that MJ. They've said it's not that MJ.
Oh, but is it?
Okay. No.
But people call me MJ.
Yeah.
That was weird. I love the Ned character.
Mm-hmm.
Who is a ripoff from the Miles Morales storyline. His roommate / best friend who knows his secret identity is the inspiration for that character in Homeland.
Hmm.
Speaking of Miles Morales, Spider-Verse, awesome. I've been talking about it since I got here tonight, but yeah, it's great.
Let's see, then we watched... New Year's Eve, The Hitman's Bodyguard.
Oh,
haven't seen that.
Ryan Reynolds, Ryan Sam Reynolds. Jackson, and that was the wife's pick for the first movie we watched. And I was like, "Are you sure about this?" And she's like, "Because the boy was still awake." Mm. I was like, "You sure about this?" And she's like, "Why?" And I was like,
"Hitman."
I was like, "Sam motherfucking Jackson." And I was like. I'm not so because we struggle getting him to not swear now. I don't know if it's a good idea. And she's like, "Oh, it'll be okay." Didn't make it two sentences, and he dropped his first motherfucker.
I think it's contractually obligated for any writer to include them for any character he played. I'm surprised there weren't 100 of them in Star Wars.
I mean, it was maybe 10 minutes in. before his character gets introduced, but it is literally in the first two sentences where he drops the first motherfucker, and then, like, there comes a point coming into the third act where Ryan Reynolds is all pissed and butthurt about how things have been playing out, and he's talking to some guy that's pouring him drinks, and he's like, and he's ruined motherfucker for me.
Okay.
Because he just keeps, he's stiff all the time. Okay. But that movie was surprisingly good. They're actually making a sequel to that. And then we followed that up with Now You See Me, the first one.
Good movie. It's a good time. Four Magicians, Four Horsemen.
Oh. Yeah.
You didn't like that one?
No.
I liked it. It was kind of fun. I like those Ocean's 11 where that you see the whole thing and then it gets dissected throughout the movie and you understand at the end how everything happened.
Yeah.
I like that kind of stuff.
And then today, I started the Matrix trilogy with the girls while we were sorting minis.
Educational okay. program.
This I like is how it.
Trilogy goes to shit.
Yes. Notice that the first one was fantastic.
Yes.
And the second one is kind of okay.
Now the third one...
Lower your expectations before we watch the third.
And be prepared for a 10-minute death scene.
I love the first one. I don't
hate the second one. I like the mythology that was kind of introduced in the third one.
Yes.
But it was introduced so poorly. It was,
yeah, the third one is could have been.
The second one with the architect and everything was cool.
I love
that's the scene. That's the mythology I was talking about. Yeah. So the second one is really
I love
the better.
I don't have as many problems with the second one as a lot.
I hated that. It ruins it for me whenever they recast somebody. And I know the woman died, but I can't help but it.
Okay,
ruins something
that's
for me.
That's fair. That's fair.
My issue with the second one. They know that the machines are drilling through the earth
mm-hmm.
to come to Zion.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a fucking rave. I had issue with that because it was really like a long, bizarrely unnecessary, and like the sex scene that's interspersed with the rave.
Yeah.
Not necessary, because
no.
every time they were like seeing each other after they popped back from the Matrix, they were warmly embracing. Mm-hmm. So you didn't need the sex scene to cement anything.
Right.
And the rave made no sense.
I'll give you that. You've got
Lawrence Fishburne up there doing his like his Sermon on the Mount.
With all his
plug holes showing.
Yeah,
because I'd apparently that's a status symbol in the underworld. But and then it's just like we will make them remember, and it's like that we can throw a fucking rave.
Yeah,
the machines will never forget this rave.
That's right.
That was probably like...
They're picking our flesh out of their...
That was probably ears. Identical to the five raves that came before it.
Right, right.
That we learned countless raves before it.
Yes.
Because the architect, I think, said something about he's lost count of how many times he's wiped Zion.
Yes.
The only number he gave was this is the sixth time.
That the one has shown up.
Yes.
Which I kind of imagine some pacification has come in between.
But. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think. So I was off. I left Christmas Eve. And Christmas with the fam. Christmas Day with the fam. Got to watch Die Hard on Christmas Day. Because, fuck you, it's a Christmas movie.
They recut... is it Paramount?
Yes.
Recut the trailer touting it as a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was actually on... Oh, I don't... It might have been on the Paramount Network.
Okay.
They had the dad from Family Matters. I can't remember.
Hosting it. Yeah.
Yeah. And he actually at one time, he's like, and here's the three reasons why it's a Christmas movie. Number one, it takes place on Christmas Eve. Number two, it takes place at a Christmas party. And number three, what's John McClane's wife's name? Holly.
Oh, God.
And so then he was like, ho, 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 motherfuckers.
Nice.
They bleeped out the fucker, but...
I didn't watch anything. I did buy a movie, or buy a game on my PlayStation. Bought Tomb Raider. It was on sale-ish, so I picked that up.
I picked up the one before the one you bought. It was on a deeper sale.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I had less funds.
I'm liking it. I haven't played a Tomb Raider game in I don't know how long.
This is the third one in their reboot of the franchise.
The one I have?
The one you picked up.
Yeah, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. It's a lot of... I forgot what Tomb Raider games were about. It's all about timing, puzzles, doing this, moving and doing it again in order to pull off the same... Like, she has the... one arrow she can shoot that has a rope on it. So I have to fire that, and I have to pull this gear mm-hmm. to open this door. Well, then, after a while, the gear gives way, and the door closes again.
But you can anchor it to something somewhere.
Yeah. So if you pull it open here, and then run over here, and fire at it again, where at the part where you have to anchor it, you can't see it at first. So you have to move, which the controls on her are weird. She goes over there and you have to swing her around to aim. And
they have puzzles like that in the second one as well.
The most entertaining thing I found was it was prior to a fight you have to kill a couple jaguar in their lair. And post the fight, she skins them and makes her new armor that basically upgrades her outfit. Prior to that, I had checked out the equipment, and you could equip previous versions of her, like the one from your game where she has just the khakis mm-hmm. in the previous game, and then the PlayStation 1, the square super boobs, polygonal, super polygon.
Yeah.
I was running around the jungle at that for a little while, just giggling.
Wow,
it was funny.
That's an option in the second one as well to use the. Because the one I picked up was Rise of the Tomb Raider, which was the 20th anniversary. It released 20 years after the first one.
Okay. What was the one before that?
Tomb Raider.
Just the reboot?
Yes. They rebooted the franchise completely. That's when it went with the new look that it's got.
Mm-hmm. I like the character. There's a dream sequence in this one where she goes back as a child. In her childhood home, and you have a puzzle to solve. Excuse me. And that was kind of cool.
He's dying on us.
Can't
die on us.
Excuse me.
You can't quit us now, Papa.
Yeah.
It's not time in the show for that yet. Sorry, man.
But, that's kind of interesting. I get frustrated because I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to be doing? I can't figure out stupid puzzle. I've done the same actions over and over, and it's getting me no results. And I'm like, then I finally do it again. Magically, it has the result the game wants, and I get through a door. I'm like, what did I do differently?
I had one like that I struggled with, and it turned out that the 3 hours that I spent working on it, the one thing I never did was turn around.
Okay.
Wow.
I could not get to this very specific ledge. And it turned out that the reason I couldn't get to that specific ledge is
because I didn't
fucking turn around and see that there was a slightly lower ledge
My biggest problem is, I mean, on PlayStation you have the X to jump, you have the square which does the grapple hooks to stick to the walls, and then once you're stuck to the wall, if you have one of those things where if you hang down, you can do a rappel down. Mm-hmm. I can never remember which button that is. So I ended up letting go and falling to my death, or letting go and falling into the water and having to start the whole process over.
Yeah, that was a thing that never got old the entire time I was playing with the boy, because he enjoyed watching the girl with the hammers. Yeah. So, can you go play the hammer game again, Daddy?
Yeah.
Sure, I will. And then every time, you fell, Daddy.
Yeah, the thanks, kid.
I think she died, Daddy. Yeah. And then if it was a particularly difficult segment where it was just death after death after death, every fucking time.
Yeah.
You fell again, Daddy.
There's a scene in Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Once you pick up the main storyline, it triggers this apocalypse. And the first sign of the apocalypse is a tsunami, which washes through the town where she's in. And you get swept away with the water. And you have to kind of guide yourself through the rushing water and avoid the most rebar I've ever seen in a third world country.
Okay.
I don't know what the fuck they're building down in Mexico. But it's all made of rebar.
My understanding is a wall.
They're building everywhere she goes. Everywhere she goes, she gets impaled on rebar. So I finally get through, and then there's this part where you climb up on a roof, and then you think you're safe. You turn around, a boat is coming, washing ashore, and it knocks you off, and you have to run down this narrow little thing, up on this hop, flip, get on a wall, and I'm on this wall, hanging, trying to figure out where I'm supposed to go next, because I can't see the white paint that triggers the clue of what the direction you're supposed to follow. Mm-hmm. And no matter what I do, she jumps off and does this crazy leap right onto rebar. No matter where I'm at, it's always, I'll jump this way and rebar. Jump this way, rebar.
Yeah, I ended up, it's the games like that that give me minor bits of panic attack, because it finally gets to a point two-thirds of the way through where I never know what floor is safe.
Yes.
Because it's either going to cave in into a trap, or it's just going to crumble away and I'm going to fall.
Yeah, So far I've been impaled, I've fallen to my death, I've fallen into a pit and eaten by snakes, eaten to death, killed by a school of piranha, killed by a eel, and just straight up drown. And she's died 100 times, and I'm not even through the first half of the game. But no, it's kills time. You know, I'm just playing around with it.
About 8 minutes by my count.
Hmm?
About 8 minutes by my count.
Yeah. About 8 minutes what? Oh, the
time kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bean got Assassin's Creed Odyssey. She's been playing that a lot. She's really enjoying that. She loved Origins. She's mm-hmm. played most of the Assassin's Creed because my nephew had them all and loaned them all to her right after we got the place or the Xbox. So she's been playing those, and she's like, "You should get it, Dad." And I'm like, "If I want to play it, I'll just play it on your Xbox. I'm not gonna buy it again for a different.
I'll see his phone.
I'm not gonna buy it for another system." I was a little frustrated with Origins because the way the character stands. And if you push forward, it isn't necessarily the direction he's looking forward. Sometimes it's to his left, sometimes it's right. So I will turn to face this bad guy, and I'll do the main attack, and he just totally whiffs. And I'm like, "What the fuck are you attacking? You're supposed to be an assassin." So I don't know. I got frustrated with that. And the weapons that I liked were not the optimal weapons. So I liked the big hammer. Okay. I like the heavy stabs and stuff. I like the look of that and the way, I mean, just the way he held them and stuff, but they were so fucking slow.
Yeah.
And they are impossible to aim, and if you're fighting anything with any kind of speed, you'd never hit them.
They're not really conducive to assassin attacks.
No, not at all. But, yeah, that's why you have the built-in little dagger thing. So.
Last Thursday, this would be my recommendation. Family and I went to Cleveland for the day.
A day?
Yeah.
I remember seeing the "We'll Be Out," Unreachable or something.
We went to the Christmas Story House.
Yeah, I saw your pictures.
Which
they look very reminiscent of the pictures Dylan took when he went up there with the family.
The house with no second story, but a staircase that goes up there?
No, it's second story.
I think you're thinking of the Brady Bunch house.
Yeah.
No,
doesn't actually have
the Christmas Story house never had a second floor, just had a stair that went up into.
No, the actual house has a second floor.
Well, they must have added it.
No, no. The interior of the movie,
yes,
was not shot in the house.
Okay.
This is the house that they used for the exterior shots.
Okay.
The backyard scenes, the Bumpus house.
Front yard scenes.
Yeah.
Not a fan of the movie.
Well, that's because you're a fucking
heathen.
Terrible human being.
He's old enough. You prefer It's a Wonderful Life, don't you?
That's a good movie, but I don't prefer it right now. I prefer Christmas movies, Die Hard, or National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Which I finally watched this year.
It's a great movie.
Eh. I've come to realize I'm not a fan of Chevy Chase.
I like scripted Chevy Chase with a little bit of ad-lib freedom.
The Christmas Story house was fun. It did not take nearly as long as what anybody had told me it would take. They were like, oh, you're going to Christmas, that's going to take forever. We left the house shortly after noon, planning to eat at a specific restaurant that opened at 4.
Okay.
We got up to the house and got parked by 1:20.
It's just a house on the street, right?
It's a house. You go inside the house.
I mean, it's just a house on a normal street.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's like an amusement park. There's like ample
parking. Well, okay, so there's... Oh, no. It took us about 5-10 minutes to find a parking spot. So we got parked. We went into the gift shop, which is where you have to buy your tickets for the tour. I bought a t-shirt, which I'm actually wearing, because I thought nothing says Chad and his friends.
Okay.
Quite like a Christmas Story squad shirt.
Okay.
So bought that. Bought our tickets. Went through the house. Went through the museum. They had more fun in the house, which the soundstage that they built for the movie is based on the inside of the house, but it's obviously a lot bigger. I thought the museum was really cool. They had an entire room dedicated to deleted scenes. Ralphie's various fantasies.
Okay.
There was one where he was supposed to go save Flash Gordon.
I would assume the various fantasies
involved him daydreaming about the gun.
Yes.
Would have come from the book.
Probably.
I think my aversion to the movie is I don't understand why we need 24 hours of it.
Well, we had 24 hours of it on two different channels.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Half hour offset.
Yes.
I don't understand it at all. It's not that great of a movie.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's.
Whatever.
Do you know why It's a Wonderful Life is considered a Christmas movie?
No.
We found this out on the show really early on. It's a Wonderful Life is a Christmas movie because someone forgot to or didn't just pay to renew the copyright on it, so it fell into public domain. And a couple of stations throughout the years then just played it all the time around Christmas. Because
to fill space.
Because
it's 3 hours fucking long.
Right. But,
I remember that dark time where it was on all the time. It was on all the time. So you didn't have to pay royalties.
Right.
So it was pure profit then because you're selling ad space and something that you're not paying to broadcast.
Right. So, the museum was really cool. They had a ton of costumes and props and things like that. They have the fire truck from the parade. They've got the old man's Oldsmobile. It was a good time. Did not take that long. We were done by 2:30 with everything. And we're like, shit, what are we going to do? So all of us are standing at the car Googling free things to do in Cleveland.
Pictures of going out of business, hookers.
So, my first recommendation would be go to the Christmas Story House. It's a good time. It's a little pricey. but it's a good time. We then left there and went to the Cleveland Museum of Art, which we paid $1.25 to park because we got a spot on the street and just plugged the meter.
Mm-hmm.
Went through and had an absolute blast. The kids all picked out things that they wanted to go check out. I was just, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Go see whatever. I like art. Kesley wanted to go see, they had a full medieval armor and armaments.
Their medieval room is delightful.
Yeah. And so Aiden and I are walking around that and we get over to this part and there's this really scary looking rectangular blade. Sharp on both ends, but definitely comes to a squared off edge. And he's like, wow, that's creepy. And I'm like, yeah, that's creepy. Look at what it is. It's an executioner's blade. And Aiden's like, oh, wow. So, like, they used that kind of blade to execute people? I said, no, not that kind of blade.
Probably that.
That blade. Yeah. And he was like, wait, that thing killed people? Yeah, man, we call it art now. That was a tool.
That's a historical relic, yeah.
So, you know, that was really cool, seeing all the different swords and whatnot, and they had an extra exhibit of, the end of medieval times firearms. They had, like, an entire, like, vestibule with more.
It's a small room off the back of the exhibit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. Then we went over and, you know, saw the paintings and whatnot, and the kids got to see Van Gogh and Picasso and Monet. And they were...
Impressionism. That's the way to go.
Yeah. I was really surprised to find out that one of my absolute favorite Picasso paintings is permanently in Cleveland.
Not a Picasso fan.
Really?
No. I mean... Yeah, no. Not really.
I'm a huge Picasso fan.
Monet
is cool.
I like the impressionisms, modern art, even surreal. I'm just not. Yeah,
I like
Dolly and stuff.
I'm not a fan of Dolly.
Never got into it. You're talking about recommendations.
Yeah,
and you're talking about things you watched. I watched this on Netflix. It was surprisingly interesting. It's about a Polish-born sculptor.
Huh.
And basically, you've never fucking heard of him.
No.
But his shit is amazing.
Okay.
But one of the reasons you didn't hear about him is because he is kind of...
crazy?
Kind of pre-Nazi.
Ah, gotcha. Gotcha.
He isn't. He's from Poland. He was all about... He's super intelligent.
Yeah.
I mean, like, crazy super intelligent. But he's... It's hard to understand. Without watching it, it's hard to kind of dissect just in a two-second explanation. But he, really intelligent, can be super offensive because you don't understand it's coming from a point of intelligence. He would see somebody on the street and he'd say, oh, this is a Neanderthal person. Or this is a blah, blah, blah. And you're thinking, that's racist.
Yeah.
He's like actually identifying genetic traits
right.
within someone's posture or
okay.
bone structure or what to say, this person is descendant okay. of this. He was a sculptor by definition.
Was that his name?
I can't pronounce it. Stanis something. It's called the documentary is called The Struggle. The life and lost art of this guy.
Yeah.
But he created his own alphabet in elementary school.
Okay.
And the teacher said, you can't do that. And his dad said, is he failing? No. Then he can do whatever the fuck he wants. So he, to the day he died, he wrote in this alphabet.
Hmm.
But he hated certain artists, very critical of certain art movements and whatnot. Okay. He felt that certain art represented the bastardization of previous movements that were original.
Okay.
And that a people needed an art to define it. And he wanted to create an art movement to define Poland. So he actually moved back to Poland at some point and started a school and started a movement, started the Horned Heart movement and whatnot. He was all about nationalism, you know, Polish nationalism. We had created a national look.
Yeah.
And little did he know, at the same time, there's a nationalism movement over here in Germany.
Yeah.
And it has a very different
angle feel to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he got commissioned to do some art, I think, for them. And he did, you know, at the time, it was like, okay, that's just a group who wants to pay me for some art. Okay, yeah. Here we go. Boom. And then he got tied in with that. And then once he realized what it was and when he left basically in disgrace and moved to America and the Nazis, you know, took over Poland and burnt down one of the bombings, one of the early bombings, took out his studio and basically his life's work, all his sculpture. He worked in mostly plaster.
Oh, wow.
But it was all destroyed.
Yeah.
Super cool stuff. I mean, just looking at it, it's just crazy. He had a whole philosophy about the thumb, how we owe everything in our culture to the thumb, the opposing thumb.
Okay.
And he did this sculpture of this hand, and the ends of each finger are these like beaks, like birds, like attacking this one last bird, the thumb, that's like basically opposing them to keep them in line. It's all political, you know, social. Opinion or what. I was just boggled by some of the art of his. But it was really interesting. I get drawn into the documentaries and shit on Netflix.
Yeah.
If I can't find some story to suck me in and waste a couple hours or a day binging a series, I will find some documentary like that and just kind of fall into it. It was interesting. Sorry, you were talking about museum.
No, that's okay. So we had a good time at the museum, and then I would definitely recommend the Cleveland Museum of Art. If you go before the end of February, they have a Georgia O'Keeffe exhibit.
Ooh, lots of edge.
Which is open on times.
Hence why Keslin.
She wanted to go.
Unfortunately. Hail to the V!
Yeah. It's one of those that they have set up, like, it opens at this time. At this time. It reopens again. And
one of those traveling things.
Yeah. We weren't. It wasn't going to be open in time for us to see it. So then, my final recommendation, if you're ever in Cleveland, in the Tremont District. It's just south of, like, the stadium and whatnot.
All right.
TME down in the flats?
No.
Going out of business sale?
Wrong side.
Okay.
There is this place called the Tremont Tap House. We found it looking on the Christmas Story website, looking for, you know, well, we'll go there and then we'll go get dinner and we'll just make a thing of it. And we checked it out, and it's a microbrew and restaurant. And they had an interesting menu, and we all were like, yeah, this looks really cool. I can, you know, try some new beers. We can all get some really nice food. Looked a little pricey. It was a little pricey, but, I mean, it's Cleveland. We get there, and we pull up, and it looks like a smaller version of the Red Fox.
Which is not big.
And I'm like, this is a fucking dive bar. Great. I just brought my family to a dive bar. And we go in, and there is a host who sat us. We sit down, and we're looking around, and I'm like, yes, just a fucking dive bar. This food's going to be terrible. I'm going to pay $200 to take my family to dinner, and it's going to suck. No, it did not suck at all.
Was it still $200?
It was pretty close to $200. Okay. Now, that mind you, that was five people.
Mm-hmm.
Two, three, four, six beers, and three non-alcoholic drinks.
So six beers, that's...
What did everyone else have? I mean, that's... I understand that's what you put away. No. But what did the rest of the family
No, drink? I had two beers. Athena had two beers. My mother-in-law had a beer, and then she had a tea, and the kids had lemonade.
That's five beers.
Shh, don't let him. Just let him
math. No, I'm sorry. I had three beers.
Let him math the way he wants. It's okay.
Yeah, I had three beers.
Mike.
Athena had two beers. Linda had a beer.
Aiden had a beer.
Yeah. I had...
Well, I thought when he said two for him and two for her, I was like, oh, the kids each had one. Cool. Yeah.
No, it's like my mother-in-law. We had a good time. I had a pork chop that came with shag bark grits. Okay. And braised collard greens.
Okay.
And a red eye gravy.
What's a red eye gravy?
It's made with coffee and all kinds of stuff. It's a really rich gravy.
So caffeine gravy.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's the red eye version. Okay.
Yeah. That was really good. It was actually amazing. I'm not a fan of braised collard greens.
I can't tell you the last time I had collard greens, so I don't know.
Do you like greens at all?
I mean, I can't eat a vegetable unless it's cooked.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
No.
I'm physically capable.
No. You've never had, like, collard greens? Those are cooked.
Not that I recall.
Okay.
They're like mush.
Yeah.
That's like, what, like spinach?
It's sort of like spinach. It's got a little... more bitter flavor than spinach.
Right.
I don't care for them braised. I like them cooked down into mushed.
Braised? Like they're just like flamed?
It looks like... So you've wilted spinach, I'm assuming, at some point in your life?
No.
No? Do you know what wilted spinach is?
No.
No? Okay.
Is that where you're like... What's blanching it? It's like boiling.
Okay.
Like kale when you like blanch it. Like boiling water, you drop it in there, pull it out.
Okay. That idea,
mm-hmm.
but in a pan with oil and it's like a quick fry.
Okay.
Collard greens, I'm not a fan of them like that. I was able to douse them in the gravy and they were fine. I've only ever had grits in my life like three times.
That's just corn, right?
Yeah.
Grits, yeah.
I loved grits once, hated grits twice.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, I mean...
They had them once in a while when I was in college.
Yeah.
The dorm I stayed in had, you know, meals.
Yeah.
And they would have grits, corned beef hash, eggs in a window. And that was... When they had that for breakfast, that was the day we were late for school because we would eat that shit.
Yeah. The shag bark grits... It's a specific mill that they use to make the grits.
Okay.
They were un-fucking real. I would eat those every day, all day long. They were amazing. Pork chop was great. Collard greens were meh. Tina had a burger. Aiden had a burger. They were both like, yeah, this is a really good burger. As I'm shoving it in my face as fast as I can.
Yeah.
I just want to video you doing that.
Do you?
That would be the most delightful gift.
That's the foolish media gift.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that gifts are made of.
Yeah. Two-handed, open mouth. Yeah.
Kesley had a Philly steak, and, like, she took a bite, and... She just was like, oh, this is the most amazing Philly steak ever. And Linda had the same thing that I did.
Happiest she's ever going to be with a meat in her mouth?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, all things considered, like, if you see it online, definitely go. And when you pull in the parking lot, don't get turned off by the look of the building. Just go in.
I kind of got over that in New York the short time I was there.
Yeah.
You cannot judge anything by what you see walking by.
Right.
Because you go in, it can be a completely different thing past that door.
Yes.
Because that tiny little doorway is subject to whatever the sidewalk is right outside of it.
Yep.
and the people passing by and the situation, you know, construction around it, they can't control that.
Right.
It's pretty much you just read the sign, get an impression of what it is, go in, and hope it meets the expectation.
Yeah, the Tremont Tap House, easily the best restaurant I've been to, new restaurant I've been to in a couple of years.
Cool.
And honestly, I mean, even if we wouldn't have bought beer, the five of us eating would have been over $100. Didn't feel like I would have overpaid.
Nice.
I would have paid that around here for the kind of food that we got. Easily.
We typically go out, the four of us. If we go somewhere nice, it's easily, you know, $80. But because the girls usually don't get something extravagant because they don't eat meat. They eat chicken and some fish and... They don't eat beef. They don't eat steak. They don't eat burgers. They don't eat pork chops. I don't eat beef.
Well, I eat pork chops. I eat the fuck out of pork.
But
I made cheesesteak for the family over the weekend.
Yeah? How'd it go?
Fine.
Karen cooked up a
roast. That was really the extent of that story.
Okay.
Karen cooked up a pork roast for New Year's Day, of course, you know, pork and sauerkraut. You have to...
That's what Nicole did.
Have to get that tradition.
We had
the girls complained that the house smelled like butt, and me and Karen are like, "Okay, we need to eat it."
We had stuffed pork chops last night.
See, I am very much a Eastern European heritage.
Yeah,
we had the same thing for dinner last night.
I don't get down on sauerkraut.
It was ready not
Romanian
long after
gypsy. My dad claimed, and I fully accept that. But yeah, it's more German.
Yeah,
because I love me some sauerkraut. I love it. Karen's whole family fucking hates it. From her mom to her youngest sibling, they hate it. I would go there New Year's Day, and her mom would cook pork and sauerkraut. And she would make the smallest little thing of sauerkraut because everybody had to have a forkful. Because, you know, that's their tradition.
That's the thing.
Meanwhile, they'd have their fork full, and they would stir it in with the mashed potatoes so they wouldn't have to taste it.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I'd eat the rest. And she's like, "Oh, you like that?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And over the years, I've gotten Karen to the point where she likes it too, so.
Not a fan.
Yeah.
And it's weird. It's not that I don't like cabbage, because I like slaw. I like Brussels sprouts. I like, depending on how the Brussels sprouts cook, but...
The Brussels sprouts, you can easily fuck them up.
Yeah, they can't be mushy. They gotta have a crispness to them.
I've had them where they've got the little bit of char on the outside, like grilled butter, you know, the whole deal.
Yep.
That's good. And they got a little bit of mush to it where they're starting to break down.
Right,
a little bit, not slop in your mouth.
Right. I hated vegetables my entire life growing up because vegetables in my parents' house were just various
boiled shit.
Yeah, it was various colored and shaped mush.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of foods that I hated growing up just because of the way my parents addressed them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hated like any kind of like lima bean kind of meal bean kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or Brussels sprouts or that. Because my parents, it was boil it in water and then slap it on a plate.
Right.
It's like, ugh, it tastes like nothing and chalk.
I'm still not a fan of lima beans.
Butter bean kind of, not the green little thing.
Oh, yeah.
The big fat butter bean. Yeah, I can deal with the
I like a lot of beans now, and I didn't like any growing up.
Yeah, it's more of a preference.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, I hated like iced tea. I could drink a gallon of unsweetened iced tea that I just brewed out of my Mr. every day, and no big deal. V8 would have never touched that fucking shit. Now
can't do that.
But I mean, it's just a difference of. You know, what is it, every 7 years your taste change?
Yep.
It's like...
My big thing that I like now that I never liked when I was growing up. I love pancakes. When I was a kid,
never hated pancakes. I prefer waffles just because I don't like the syrup soaking into the freaking soggy
I still to this day I don't like syrup.
Strawberry preserves is what I put on my pancakes.
I just got done using up the rest of my mother-in-law made peach apricot preserves.
Yeah, kind of jam, some kind of preserves. That's my pancake.
That's
because one pancake. Put a little bit, another pancake, a little bit more, and it's basically just a strawberry layer cake by the time I'm done making
it. Pretty much.
Put some butter on the top one just to give it a little bit. Yeah.
The other thing I did over my vacation, I baked a cake.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
I have never in my life.
I saw that.
I've never baked anything, not even like a box cake or like the Toll House, like. Cookie dough that you get and you just slice and put on it. I've never done any of that. And Athena's been watching all these baking shows and I'm like, okay, well, I want to bake a cake. I can do this. I can bake a cake. Like, I'm watching Nailed It on Netflix. I don't know if you've ever watched it.
I can't watch cooking shows.
No. You have to watch Nailed It. Watch one episode because what they do.
I don't even want to think that I like it.
Get these self-professed terrible bakers and they bring them in. And the whole goal is they hand them these artisan
quality ingredients. It's really fucking bad.
They hand them these sugar cookies that are professionally iced and they look gorgeous. And they're like, okay, you have 45 minutes to recreate this.
But basically all it is putting the conductor, putting someone on the train in the role of conductor. Who's probably blind and deaf, and there is a bridge out ahead.
Yes.
And then judging who didn't fuck it up the worst?
Who nailed it the best?
Out of all of the terrible options. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, Nailed It is hilarious.
Just in keeping an eye on the time, and knowing that you have a few things that you still want to cover.
I only have the reading and one last recommendation that I just thought of, but that's all I got left. All
right. And I feel like we're probably going to get sidetracked a bit on my thing.
Oh, God. I'll give you the slimmest spoiler of what I'm going to be reading.
I'm intrigued.
This came to my dad.
Ah.
Today.
Okay. They're not going to get a response from him.
No. But I figure... this is a good segue into the end of the show.
Fair enough.
So,
all this talk of tradition.
It is that time.
We have some traditions. The odd recommendation here and there.
Yes.
The things, the throwbacks. If you've been listening long enough, and if you've continued through our... transitional period to what we've become.
Yeah.
Where we've moved well beyond formulaic and finding our voice and have really moved into the realm of old man rambling, which I think was our goal all along, but we didn't want to just old man ramble.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we needed to actually get an old man before we could truly old man ramble.
Yeah, and it's okay to say that because he's peeing and he's hard of hearing. But we get less drunk...
Yeah.
We get less drunk.
Okay, what the hell? The same towel's been in the bathroom since I met you. Where did it go? Every week I'm like, oh, it's my towel.
So, spoiler alert, very few of us actually wash our hands in that bathroom because... I need to replace the S-trap in that bathroom.
Okay.
So every time someone washes their hands in there, I have to go in there and empty out the little bowl I have underneath the sink to...
You could have told me that.
It's all good. It's all good.
I wash my hands in there every time I poop.
I know you do. Okay. It's okay. I dump the bowl right. every time.
I would hope that you would want me to.
Yes, I okay. do. I mean, when we're not back here.
It's a good habit that Shorty got me into.
Yeah, it's...
Wash your hands after you poop.
Yeah. When we're not back here with everything closed off...
I mean, you kind of have to because he's never had toilet paper in there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he's got the towel for.
I know.
Yeah. But,
also, just... Maybe might make things easier if you switch from a stark white towel to maybe a brown towel.
Yeah.
So it doesn't show things as easy.
Reminds me of a story. Two guys jogging through Central Park. One guy's like, man, I really got a shit. I'm going to go behind the bush and take a crap. I was, okay, I'll watch out for it. He's back there and he's like, oh, crap, I don't got any toilet paper. He goes, use a dollar. And he goes, okay. Back there grunting, squeaking. Because they go, man, that was the worst idea I ever had in my life. Not only did I get a handful of shit, I got 4 quarters stuck up my ass.
That's delightful.
Yeah. Bravo. So,
in keeping with what is sorely becoming an annual tradition, let's see if it takes me a full 15 minutes to cover the celebrity deaths of 2018. It's all right, though. We'll pick shit back up when we're done.
Yeah.
We'll just have this bit of a downer. I am going month by month through the calendar year. So if I miss somebody, make sure you let me know. I'm using the same site I used last year because they had a fairly comprehensive
list.
Yes,
they do. They have
actually,
a good
this
list.
Is the same site I've used for the last 2 years. They've had very comprehensive lists both times. So, starting in January, John Paul Stewart. Actor played Alexander Roshenko in Star Trek The Next Generation, age 33.
Oh, wow.
Ray Thomas, musician from the UK, founding member of the rock group The Moody Blues, age 76. Jerry Van Dyke, younger brother of Dick Van Dyke, played David Crabtree in TV show My Mother the Car, and Luther Van Dam on Coach.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Luther.
Age 86.
That actually was... He actually made mention of that on How I Met Your Mother, because the one character that guy played his dad, and when he died, they actually did a whole episode where his dad died, basically.
Wow.
It was kind of a tribute to that actor.
Hmm.
John Young. Captain, U.S. Navy, NASA astronaut, flew on the first manned Gemini mission, and 5 more missions, including a moonwalk. Age 87. It's kind of a big deal because that's a real small club.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Denise LaSalle, blues singer, recognized as the queen of blues, top hit, Trapped by a Thing Called Love, age 78. Donnelly Rhodes, Canadian actor, played convict Dutch Leitner on TV show Soap, age 80. Eddie Clarke, musician from the UK, guitarist for the heavy metal band Motorhead. Doreen Tracy, actor, singer, regular on TV show Mickey Mouse Club in the 50s. Keith Jackson, sportscaster, voice of ABC Sports College football coverage, 66 to 2006.
Yep.
Jean Porter, actress. She was a contract actress for MGM, appeared in over 30 movies from 38 to 61.
Wow.
She died at 95. Naomi Stevens, actress, extremely popular character actress from the 50s to the 80s, notably played Mrs. Dreyfus in the 1960 movie The Apartment, age 92.
Hmm.
Dan Gurney, race car driver and owner, won races in Formula One, Indy, NASCAR, Can-Am, and Trans Am series, age 86. Dolores O'Riordan, singer.
Yes.
Lead singer for the rock band The Cranberries. Age 46. Give me 1 second. I get choked up every year when I do this. It takes me just a... It's part of the reason it takes a full 15 fucking minutes. Peter Wingard, actor, portrayed Jason King in TV show Department 5 and Jason King. Two separate shows. Bradford Dillman, actor, played Luther Sebastian in the film The Helicopter Spies, which was made from the Man from U.N.C.L.E. episode.
Hmm.
Jessica Falkholt, actress from Australia, played Hope Morrison on TV series Home and Away. Age 29, she was in a car accident that killed her entire family.
Ouch.
Simon Shelton, UK actor, played Tinky Winky in the BBC TV show The Teletubbies.
Wow. I wonder if my son knew that he passed.
Died of hypothermia.
Wow, that would suck.
That seems like an odd ailment.
This list, while I'm not doing it for all of them, this list does include, like, if it's known, cause of death.
Wow.
Olivia Cole, actress, played Matilda in the miniseries Roots, for which she won an Emmy. Dorothy Malone, actress, played Constance McKenzie on Peyton Place. It was one of those evening soap opera type shows.
Okay.
Dynasty, Dallas.
That kind of thing.
You know how I grew up. We didn't watch those.
No, those devils.
Allison Shermer, film producer, worked on American Pie, Jason Bourne, and the Hunger Game franchises.
Hmm.
Wendell Castle.
Jason Bourne and American Pie.
And the Hunger Games.
And little do you see those in the same breath.
Yeah.
I often associate those three disparate things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wendell Castle, artist and furniture maker. Probably the father of furniture art.
Okay.
John Coleman, TV meteorologist, original weatherman on ABC's Good Morning America in 1975, and co-founder of the Weather Channel.
Wow. Okay.
That's good. Because that meant that was one where, like, I don't know who this guy is. I didn't know who he was either. Naomi Parker Fraley, she is credited as the inspiration for the Rosie the Riveter We Can Do It World War II era poster.
Damn.
Age 96.
Buff lady.
That's a full life.
Jim Rodeford, musician, played with the Kinks, then played with the redo of the Zombies. Connie Sawyer, actress, nicknamed the Clown Princess of Comedy, appeared in movies and TVs from 55 to 14.
Wow!
Age 105.
I'm sorry, no. That's a full life.
That's insane.
Nope.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if that's what you want as a sex toy.
I guess, yeah.
Stacey Young, model from the UK, appeared in many 1980s music videos with her singer husband, Paul Young. Mort Walker, cartoonist, wrote the newspaper comic strips of Beetle Bailey and Hi and Lois.
I remember that.
And Mark Salling, actor, musician, portrayed Noah Puck Puckerman on TV show Glee. There's another young one, died at 35. That's January.
Shit.
Yeah. Whew, all right, February. Fidel Angel Castro Diaz Balart was a scientist and was Fidel Castro's oldest son. Dennis Edwards, singer, lead singer for the Temptations. John Huntsman Sr., businessman, philanthropist. Huntsman was known for his philanthropy, including the Huntsman Cancer Institute. John Mahoney, a British and American actor. He played Martin Crane on TV's Frasier.
Okay. Yes. Remember when he died? Yeah.
Mickey Jones, musician and actor, drummer for the First Edition with Kenny Rogers. John Perry Barlow was a poet and cyber activist, the lyricist for the Grateful Dead, and founded Electronic Frontier Foundation. Jill Messick, producer, She's All That and Mean Girls. Reg E. Caffey is an actor, portrayed Freddie Hayes in House of Cards from 2013 to 2017. He actually was in quite a bit. He's also on Luke Cage. Was Luke Cage's dad?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, he died?
He died just after they got done filming.
Oh, wow. I like that guy.
John Gavin, actor, politician, portrayed Julius Caesar in Spartacus in 1960 and then was U.S. ambassador to Mexico, 81 to 86. Vic Damone, singer-songwriter, Marty Allen, comedian, actor, one half of the comedy duo Allen and Rossi. 44 appearances on The Ed Sullivan Show. Louise Latham, actress, played Bernice Edgar in Alfred Hitchcock's movie Marnie. Daryl Singletary, country western singer. Maybe you guys will know these. I Let Her Lie.
Mm-hmm.
Amen Kind of Love.
No.
Okay. Louise Lou Ahern, actress. She was child actress in the Our Gang films and was one of the last surviving cast members. Age 97.
Little Rascals, yeah. Our Gang?
Yeah. Age 97.
Wow.
Died from the flu.
That does it.
Emma Chambers, UK actress, played Alice Tinker on the BBC show The Vicar of Dibley. I'm sure I pronounced none of that right.
Vicar is correct.
Okay.
Dibley.
Billy Graham, Baptist minister and TV Christian evangelist.
Currently rotting in hell, let's hope.
Let's see. He had the Billy Graham Crusades, 47 to 2005. And then he was the spiritual advisor to every U.S. president from Harry Truman to Barack Obama. Died at age 99. Nanette Fabre, actress, singer, dancer. Sid Caesar's comedy partner on Caesar's Hour. Played Catherine Romano on the TV show One Day at a Time. Lewis Gilbert, producer and director from the U.K., notable films involved with Alfie, Shirley Valentine, and You Only Live Twice. And then Peter Miles, actor from the UK, played Rotani in several episodes of Blake 7. Brings us to March. Bill Burkett, singer, original member of the Vogues. Ronnie Prophet, country western musician from Canada, performed in Canadian TV shows Grand Old Country and The Ronnie Prophet Show. David Ogden Steers, actor, played Major Charles Emerson Winchester III in TV show MASH. Hubert de Givenchy, the fashion designer.
Nope.
You've not heard of Givenchy?
Nope.
House of Givenchy?
Nope.
Okay. He famously dressed Audrey Hepburn and Jackie Kennedy in the 60s.
Okay.
Sir Kenneth Dodd, comedian, songwriter, singer-songwriter from the UK, recorded Tears, number one hit of 65. I love it. Noki Edwards, musician, played lead guitar and bass for The Ventures.
Okay.
Craig Mack, singer, rapper, also known as MC Easy. Age 47 from heart failure. Jim Bowen, comedian from the UK, host of ITV's game show Bullseye. 81 to 95. Age 80. And Stephen Hawking, theoretical physicist, honorary fellow of the Royal Society of Arts, lifetime member of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, and a recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, age 76.
What month are you in now?
March.
March.
Wow.
Yeah, I got a whole lot of year to go, my friend.
Yeah.
Frank Eberich, actor, played Bozo the Clown from 59 to 70. Annalisa, actress. I don't know what that abbreviation is. Played Nora Travers on Black Saddle. Wayne Huizenga, entrepreneur and philanthropist, one-time owner of the Miami Dolphins, Florida Marlins, and Florida Panthers. Charles Lazar, entrepreneur, founder, and CEO of Toys R Us.
Florida Panthers. Is that a hockey team or something? Minor league? This is Carolina Panthers, so Florida Panthers.
I think they used to be Florida.
No.
No.
Florida Different Panthers team. Is hockey, yes.
Okay.
Different team.
All right. Deshaun Monique Brown, actress, played Connie on TV show Chicago Fire.
That's a fairly recent show, though.
Yeah. Debbie Lee Carrington, actress, played Little Bigfoot in Harry and the Hendersons. Dolores Taylor, actress, developed the character Billy Jack and starred in all three Bill Jack movies.
Okay.
Linda Brown, civil rights figure, was subject to a Supreme Court case which outlawed school segregation. Brown versus the Board of Education. Little, she's that brown.
The little, nice. God.
Bill Maynard, actor, comedian, lead role of Oh No, It's Selwyn Froggatt. That brings us to April. Stephen Bochco, TV writer and producer. Hill Street Blues, L.A. Law.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Susan Anspach, actress, played Catherine Von Oost in Five Easy Pieces, Nina Bloom in Bloom in Love. She has another stuff, I've heard the name. Winnie Mandela, political from, I don't, but they're just making these abbreviations up for where these people are from. Anti-apartheid activist, married to Nelson Mandela. Tim O'Connor, played Dr. Elias Huer in Buck Rogers in the 25th Century. Chuck McCann, actor-comedian, hosted children's TV show, The Chuck McCann Show. That sounds like it's for kids.
Because I'm going to Chuck McCann everywhere.
I'm going to Chuck McCann at this kid's head.
Yeah.
You get to drink from the fire hose. You ever seen UHF?
Yes.
Yvonne Staples, gospel and R&B singer. Family gospel group The Staples Singers, number one hit, Let's Do It Again. Alex Beckett, UK actor, played Barney Lumsden in BBC show 2012, in the year 2012. R. Lee Ermey, actor, USMC sergeant retired, played Gunny Sergeant Hartman in Full Metal Jacket, and then did all sorts of other military consulting work after that.
Yes.
He was originally brought on to Full Metal Jacket as a consultant, and they're like, oh, why don't you just play that role?
Yeah, yeah.
He never had any aspirations to be an actor. He didn't want to be an actor. He only did it because they needed him because he could do it right.
Yeah. I forget who was supposed to be the gunny, the drill sergeant first, but...
Denzel Washington.
Probably. They just were completely unhappy with how he was doing it.
Well, yeah, Denzel was only like, I don't know, 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's going to be a real shitty drill sergeant.
Just pull it off.
R. Lee kept trying to give him coaxing, and one scene went really bad. And so he just went out there and was like, you got to do it like this!
It was a whole lot of, let me demonstrate the correct way to do it. And Kubrick is just like, oh, no, I want you instead.
Yeah, yeah. It was great.
Because ever the perfectionist, he wanted the guy who could do it
right.
Perfectly.
Yes.
Let's see.
If you're going to force somebody to kill themselves, yes, you need to do it right.
And then the day after R. Lee Ermey passed, Harry Anderson, actor.
Which?
And actor magician.
Yes. I will say real quick. Athena and I, really early in our marriage, I think Kesley was born, went to a comedy night, and Harry Anderson was the headliner that night.
That would have been awesome.
It was the most entertaining thing I have ever went to see someone perform, because it says comedian slash magician. No, he was a comedic magician.
It doesn't say magician. I'm adding that.
Oh, okay.
Because I know he was.
Yes.
I know that was not a gimmick.
His shit was always funny, and it was always magic driven.
Let's see. Pam Gidley was an actress. She starred in Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me. And then on the day after that, so this is in a 3-day span now, Barbara Bush. First Lady, President George H.W. Bush. And she was founded the Barbara Bush Foundation for Family Literacy. Then on the 18th, Bruno Sammartino, I mean, name means either anything to either of you guys.
Nope.
He was a WWE professional wrestler. He was a living legend because he... I saw.
Okay.
They don't have it in here, but he held the world heavyweight champion longer than anyone else. And would every month they would sell out Madison Square Garden and he would defend his title and win. And
wow.
This went on for not for like months, years.
Once a month at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, they would.
Wow.
He just refused to follow the script.
That's not how that went.
Oh.
Having him be the champion that long was part of the story. And we live in a time now where you cannot have a champion for years.
Right.
Because the fans won't allow that.
No.
So, like, all of the old records that they're able to shatter now with the new sports medicine way they're able to keep people in the game, kind of in the game longer.
Right.
His record for time holding the title will never be beaten.
No.
I do not have it in front of me, but it was fucking ridiculous. Dale Winton, TV host. He hosted Dale's Supermarket Sweep.
I remember that show!
The UK version.
Oh.
You remember the American version.
Yes.
As do I. Ronnie Blaskett, comedian, ventriloquist from Australia. Avicii, Tim Bergling, electronic music performer from Sweden. I got that abbreviation. Sunshine, I Could Be the One, nominated for 2 Grammys. Vern Troyer.
Maybe.
Yeah. At 2'8", he was the world's shortest actor.
Yeah.
Bob Duro, musician, songwriter, composed and performed Schoolhouse Rock series of educational cartoons.
Wow.
Yeah, April was a busy month.
It was a brutal month.
Schoolhouse Rock, that shit shaped my childhood.
Kristen Nelson, actress, married to Rick Nelson, and appeared regularly on The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. Paul Junger-Witt, producer on TV shows Partridge Families, Golden Girls, and the movie Dead Poets Society. Robert Mandan, actor, played Chester Tate on TV sitcom Soap.
Chester Taint?
Not Taint.
That's the second person from this show, Soap. I've never heard of this show, Soap.
Well, it's because you were...
It was on from 77, like 77 to 81, and...
It was a slapstick comedy soap, evening soap opera.
Like, take all the melodrama of a telenovela.
Okay.
And then completely make it a parody of everything it's intending to hyper-dramatize.
Okay.
And make it... far more ridiculous. Like, Billy Crystal got his start on Soap, I believe. It was either his start or it was early in his career. Because I want to say he was on there as well.
Soap had a lot of people on it. I think at one point the lady was married to a ghost or something. Or the guy...
There was a ghost.
There was a ghost. It was like a main character.
Like, it was just nutty.
You ever see the Dark Shadows... movie with Johnny Depp?
I've seen the original show.
Yeah, it's kind of like that ridiculousness.
Okay.
But even more so.
That brings us to May. It's going to take me way more than 15 minutes. That's okay. We're doing one episode. It's going to go long. It'll be fine.
Oh, we're only doing one tonight?
It's going to go long. We'll probably end up being close to two.
Okay.
Steve Coy, musician, played drums and keyboard for the rock group Dead or Alive. Catherine Goddard, actress from Australia, played Deborah Hill Regnery on The Saddle Club. Gail Shepherd, singer, one of the four sisters who formed the Shepherd Sisters. Arthur Godfrey's talent scouts in American Bandstand. Margot Kidder, Lois Lane. We talked about her when she died. Tom Wolfe, author and journalist, wrote the novel The Right Stuff. Joseph Campanella, actor, played Lou Wickersham in Mannix and Joe Torino on The Guiding Light. Patricia Morris, an actress, played Maid Marian on Prince of Thieves in 1947. age 103.
Wow.
Philip Roth, novelist, wrote Portnoy's Complaint and received a Pulitzer Prize for American Pastoral. Clint Walker, actor, played Cheyenne Bodie on TV Western Cheyenne. John Peter Bain, video game commentator, known as Total Biscuit. Popular gaming critic on YouTube, age 33. He died of colon cancer.
Hmm.
That means something to me. Maybe a little to you.
Yeah. Say it again?
He died of colon cancer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's hoping.
Well, I mean, we exist in a higher at-risk group.
Yes, we do.
Tony Travis, actor, singer, played Eddie Crane in the Beatniks, and also Jamboree. Alan Bean, captain, U.S. Navy retired, astronaut, was on Apollo 12. He was the second mission to land on the moon. Frederick Arnold, actor, played attorney Fred Shea in Lost Angeles. And then Cornelia Francis, actor from Australia, portrayed Morag Bellingham on Home and Away. Which brings us to June. Kate Spade, the fashion design entrepreneur.
Yes.
Had 140 and 175 international stores. Jerry Marin, actor, last living munchkin from The Wizard of Oz.
Yep.
Anthony Bourdain.
Yes, that one, right. It's actually sad about that one. I like that guy.
Yeah. Jackson O'Dell played Ari Cardwell on The Goldbergs. DJ Fontana, drummer, played drums for the Blue Mean Boys and then for Elvis Presley. Leslie Grantham, actor, played Den Watts on BBC show EastEnders. Jensa Duane Ricardo Unfoy, a.k.a. Triple X Tentacon. No, I'm sorry, Triple X Tentation. Singer, songwriter, rapper, AMA winner for favorite album titled 17, which he won in 2018. He died at age 20. He was murdered.
Jesus.
Charles Krauthammer, author, columnist, Pulitzer Prize winning columnist.
Awesome name.
What, Krauthammer?
Yeah, that's an awesome name.
That's a dwarf name.
Yeah, it is.
That's like a Jewish dwarf name.
I German fully Jewish. Expect that the next dwarf we run into in D&D is a Krauthammer.
Absolutely.
And he's vehemently against discrimination and racism everywhere?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going the other direction. Yeah. With that. All right. Well, there was hope our world was advancing. Deanna Lund, actress, played Valerie Ames on TV sci-fi Land of the Lost.
Wow.
Ooh.
Age 81.
Callback.
Richard Benjamin Harrison, businessman, reality TV star known as the old man on the History Channel's Pawn Stars.
Ugh.
Mm. Wow. You guys totally wasted your... Mm. Joe Jackson. Manager, father, and patriarch of the Jackson family.
Oh.
See? You wasted it on the old man.
Yeah.
Should have saved it for the other old man. Helen Griffin, actress from the UK, wrote and starred in Little White Lies. That brings us to July. Tab Hunter, actor, singer, played Danny in Battle Cry as a singer, Young Love number one on the charts. Carlo Benetton, fashion designer and entrepreneur, one of four siblings who owned Benetton Group, a design fashion house in Italy, along with other substantial holdings in the Italian hotel and restaurant business. Roger Perry, actor, played attorney Jim Harrington in TV show Harrington and Son. Robert Wolters, actor from somewhere, he played Eric Hunter in TV Western Laredo. Nancy Sinatra Jr., first wife of Frank Sinatra.
Wait.
I'm sorry, Nancy Sinatra Sr.
Wait, you can have female juniors and seniors?
Because they named one of their daughters Nancy.
It's the only time I've ever heard of that.
If it's named
after... We joked for years about naming one of the girls Nicole Jr.
Huh.
She was never on board with that. Okay. I like to remind the girls, when they get shitty about their names, understand, I wanted to name you Nicole Jr. And they're like, just be glad you're a girl. And they're like, why is that? Because if you were a boy, I was fighting for Bruce Leroy.
And then you blew that all out of the water by naming your kid Leo.
And then was hoping for a second boy, because then we'd name him Shogun of Harlem. Just to round out the set.
Wow.
Because that's what I think of when the Bookman, when I think of the Bookman's well-rounded.
Oh, insanity's not square, right? We'd hurt ourselves on the corners. Elle Marie Wendell, actress. She played Miss Dubcek on TV show Third Rock from the Sun.
Wow. Okay.
The landlady?
Yes, I believe so. All right, that brings us to August. July was a short month. Marie Carlisle, actress, dancer, played a starry-eyed romantic interest in over 60 films, including College Humor with Bing Crosby, age 104. Charlotte Ray, actress, played Edna Garrett on TV sitcoms Different Strokes and its spinoff The Facts of Life, age 92.
Okay.
Stan Mikita, ice hockey player, played for the Chicago Blackhawks, was considered the league's best center in the 60s. Aretha Franklin, singer, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, 18-time Grammy winner.
18 times. Wow.
Known as the Queen of Soul. Perhaps you've heard of her top song, Respect.
I still think fondly of that hat she wore at the inauguration.
Yeah, that was a bitchin' hat.
That was a bitchin' hat.
She also had Natural Woman, was another one, that saw a great resurgence in, like, cotton commercials.
Yeah.
In the 90s, I think it was.
Yep.
90s, early 2000s. Barbara Harris, actress, played Evelyn Kelcher in Peggy Sue Got Married and Mary Blank in Gross Point Blank. Ed Kane, musician, lead guitarist and bassist for Southern rock group Lynyrd Skynyrd. He co-wrote Sweet Home Alabama. You know what, Chad? Why don't I pause things? You go get your guitar and play us a little. Come on, man. Play us some Skynyrd.
Did you order one of those sex toy things you were looking at?
I don't think it was a sex toy. I think it was.
I'm going to use it as one.
I think it was a Bookman anal probe.
Yeah, because. Wow.
You're not a Skynyrd fan, I take it?
No. See, I knew this would trigger him. Like the delicate snowflake that he is.
The delicate snowflake.
On this very specific.
On this thing. Very specific topic, I openly admit. I am nothing but a delicate snowflake.
This is from years of playing in a bar band, and
No. So here's how it went. You're up on stage. Sorry, this is going to take longer to get through the death list. So you're up on stage, and you know you're in that kind of bar where someone's going to want to hear some Skynyrd. So you play a Skynyrd song. You get done playing Skynyrd song, and you know what you hear? From the back of the bar?
Play it again!
Play some Skynyrd! Yeah, dude, we just did. Play it again!
I was there that night. It was so awesome.
We'll play some more.
Were you
the
one saying playing it again? No, but I was like, yeah, that's a good idea! Only because I knew from having gone to see him play in bars. Like, pretty much every bar he went to, someone would just start screaming, play some Skynyrd.
So, we'd play a Skynyrd song a set. When we were playing a cover show, we played four sets, 45 minutes a set. We'd play four Skynyrd songs. Generally, we would play They Call Me the Breeze, Simple Man, Sweet Home Alabama, and we would try and, in the last set, play Freebird. I guarantee you, every show we played, you had a guy or lady who would scream, play some Skynyrd, or
play some AC/DC. And it didn't matter how many songs you played, they wanted more. Always more. I could have played nothing but 4 45-minute sets of Lynyrd Skynyrd, and they would still be screaming, play some Skynyrd!
Can't you just play it bad and they won't ask you to play anymore?
No. Oh. No, because here's the thing about Skynyrd fans.
They can't hear?
They're generally
Skynyrd fans?
Too drunk to tell that it was bad.
Played poorly, yeah.
Or, in the case of Simple Man, our singer only knew the first verse. So, and that song has 4 verses.
Yeah.
So it would be first verse, chorus, first verse, chorus, solo, first verse, chorus, solo, first verse, chorus, solo, chorus, outro, done. And they wouldn't notice. Yeah. Ever. But God forbid, I get up on stage and I play and sing Tool sober one time.
I remember that.
During the show.
I remember that.
And I had a man physically accost me for playing that shit.
I like Tool. I can see that around here. I can totally understand that.
And I want to say that we did a pretty good rendition of...
That may be the reason that I asked you to do it at every show I went to after that.
We did a fairly respectable sober.
Because it was like, oh shit, Chad's going to sing.
Yeah.
Because that was not a common occurrence.
No, there were 3 songs that I sang total. No, I'm sorry, 4. But anyway, back to the list.
But not often.
No.
Robin Leach.
Really?
Entertainment,
How the fuck did I miss Robin Leach dying?
I don't know.
Well, maybe you were probably still so shook up from 2 days prior the Lynyrd Skynyrd thing.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Age 76. He died of a stroke. And then the next day, John McCain. That actually might have been the thing that... overshadowed.
Might have been what overshadowed.
Probably,
War hero. U.S.
Wait,
Senate.
At what point? Did Chris Cornell die last year?
That was last year, man.
Okay.
Well, that was 2017.
It was?
Yeah, 2017.
I'm sorry, I'm still mourning.
Yeah. 2017 was not a good year. That was...
Yeah, that was Chester and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Chris and Cornell and just...
Bowie.
And Bowie and...
Yeah, it was
Prince.
Oh God, Prince! Oh shit! Oh,
yeah.
The year the music died.
Yeah. Yeah. All our heroes died in 17. All our musical heroes died in 17. So John McCain, war hero, U.S. Senator from 1987 to 2018, up to his death. He was in the U.S. House from 83 to 87. He was a captain in the U.S. Navy.
Pitbull swims 5 miles to buy the child.
So he's a captain in the U.S. Navy, was retired, and he was in the Navy from 58 to 81.
Yep.
And he was called a maverick in the Senate.
Well, I did like him giving the thumbs down to Trump.
That was pretty balls.
That was pretty much when I won my respect back for
that. That was all balls.
Although, when he defended Obama during the debate, that dude was a class act.
Yes.
Yeah. I may not agree with his stance politically, but that dude was a class act.
Yeah. He understood how to behave like an adult in a public setting.
Yes.
Unlike some people who look like they rolled around in Cheeto dust.
Some diaper before. Cheetos that
yeah.
fucking
yeah.
don't.
I mean, yeah. just... Yeah. Yeah. A Cheeto dust and whatever hair was under the couch.
Yeah. One quick thing on John McCain. Do you follow Jim Wright still at all? Did you see what he wrote? I was unaware of this until John McCain passed. If you go through any, whether it's chief warrant officer or any kind of officer schooling in the United States Navy, there is a history class about the United States Navy. And essentially, early 20th century history... in the Navy about him? Is just about John McCain and his dad.
Okay.
Done.
Yeah.
Then you've got Neil Simon. Playwright, screenwriter, wrote Barefoot in the Park, The Odd Couple, which won a Tony. And over the course of his career, he won 3 Tonys and a Pulitzer.
Wow.
The Pulitzer is my far-off dream.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't think I'll get that for D&D Erotica.
Damn liberal media.
Fucking fake news. Susan Brown, actress, played Dr. Gail Adamson Baldwin on TV soap opera General Hospital. From, and I'm only doing this because it's put in here like this, from 77 to 85, then again from 89 to 90, then again from 92 to 04.
Wow. She must have died and come back a couple of times.
Age 86. Gloria Jean, actress, singer, very popular actress, starred and co-starred in 26 feature films from 1939 to 1959.
Okay.
Vanessa Marquez, actress, played nurse Wendy Goldman on TV show ER. That brings us to September. Hmm. September is, well, I'll get there.
When did Trump die? Did I miss it? When did you say it loud?
No, because if we talk like that, then the Secret Service could come talk to us. So
oh. I just, yeah, dude. I thought he did die. I didn't say I killed him.
All right.
I mean,
oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
Shut the fuck up, dude.
I really don't need the Secret Service pounding on my door. Like, I'm super happy because the drug dealer across the street got evicted. So, apparently he wasn't paying his rent. Which is weird, because
he had all kinds of money.
Yeah, motherfucker was making bank.
You would think, as a drug dealer, the one thing you would do is make sure that you pay your rent.
And make sure that your store, they
left like mid-afternoon one day in a hurry.
Huh.
They moved out last week. It was the day I was at work.
Okay.
All right, so September. Jacqueline Pierce, UK actress, played the villain Servalon in the BBC series... the BBC sci-fi series Blake 7. Bill Daly, actor, comedian, played astronaut Roger Healy on I Dream of Jeannie and Howard Borden on The Bob Newhart Show. Christopher Lawford, actor, author, son of Peter Lawford and nephew of President John F. Kennedy. Richard DeVos, businessman, philanthropist, co-founder of Amway and owner of Orlando Magic basketball team. Liz Fraser, UK actress, several of early Carry On films, Carry On Regardless, Carry On Cruising, Carry On Cabbie, age 88. Burt Reynolds, actor. His movies included Deliverance. I feel like I should stop there because that was where I thought he peaked.
Cannonball Run.
Fine, I'll cover the rest. Smokey and the Bandit, 1 and 2, Best Little Horror House in Texas, and Cannonball Runs, age 82.
The Longest Yard.
Boogie Nights.
He hated that.
Fuck, I forgot he was in Boogie Nights.
Oh, and he notoriously hated being in that movie.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Which was, if I'm remembering things correctly, he was not happy about being in that movie because of the sexual content. And then there was a movie that was made not long before his death that was very small.
Okay.
And it uses old footage from movies that he was in.
Okay.
But is a fictionalized sort of thing.
Okay.
I don't remember what it's called. It's the last movie he was in. It's supposed to be just a kind of beautiful, a beautiful tribute to Burt Reynolds, even though he plays a different person. He doesn't play Burt Reynolds.
Wait, let me get this straight. Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
The man who put Playgirl on the map.
Yes.
Was notoriously against being in Boogie Nights.
He regrets the Playgirl.
Well, he regrets that as well.
He regretted that. Really? Because at the time, he did Deliverance, which was a very well-received movie.
Yeah.
And, I mean, his star power was huge. Then he went and did that, and then he ended up Cannibal Run and all the comedy stuff. It ruined his credibility and
early on.
And basically took him out of any kind of serious roles.
Which was unfortunate because, like...
Makes me think he wasn't upset with Boogie Nights, because that was a serious role and he fucking nailed it.
But like,
hate his role, but he may have hated the
resented the movie.
The movie itself.
But there was all of the content that, like, all of the content and the jokes that have come about over the years from Deliverance. That's a powerful movie.
Oh, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Moving on in September. Yes. Mac Miller, singer and music producer, debut album Blue Slide Park charted at number one on Billboard Top 200, age 26. Died from an OD.
He was a hip-hop artist. I'm not going to lie, the mood was really heavy in this house for a couple of days after that. Both of my children, even my metalhead daughter, Mac Miller fans.
I had heard him. He had done like duets with some of the folks that I listened to. So yep. It was like, oh, because he was a talent.
Yes.
Chelsea Smith, model, actress, won Miss Texas 94, Miss USA 95, Miss Universe 95, died at 45.
That's a shame.
Liver cancer.
Oh.
Peter Donat. Canadian actor, played Bill Mulder, Agent Mulder's adoptive father in The X-Files.
Okay. See, that was Canadian, should have been Donat.
It's D-O-N-A-T. Maybe it's Donate. I don't know.
Donat.
Fenella Fielding, UK actress, known as England's First Lady of Double Entendre. I love her already. Appeared on Carry On Regardless. Xenia Merton, a UK actress, played Sandra Bennis in the ITC TV show Space, 1999.
I remember that show. I hated that.
Dudley Sutton, a UK actor, played Tinker Dill in TV show Lovejoy. Roger Robinson, actress, played Fred Shuttlesworth in TV miniseries King. And then Martin Ballin, musician, songwriter, founding member of Jefferson Airplane and Starship, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, age 76. That brings us to October. We're almost there, folks. Peggy Sue Guerin was the inspiration for Buddy Holly's song, Peggy Sue. And later song, Peggy Sue Got Married. Juan Romero, food worker, knelt beside Robert Kennedy and comforted him immediately after his assassination in 68.
I thought you were going to say he's the guy that picked the corn, picked the coffee beans in the old Columbia.
That's
coffee
fair.
Commercials. Those,
yeah, okay. Juan. No, I didn't do a hard enough age. Bernadette Carroll, singer with the Angels, originally the Starlets. Number one release was My Boyfriend's Back.
I remember that song.
Don Sandberg, actor, writer, producer, performed, wrote, and produced Bozo Circus on WGN from 61 to 69. Scott Wilson, actor, played Herschel Green on TV show The Walking Dead.
Yes. Yeah. Him appearing in Rick's final episode was creepy.
Yes.
It was beautiful, but it was creepy.
And it was the last thing he filmed.
That was...
Peggy McKay, actress, played Carolyn Brady on soap opera Days of Our Lives. Celeste Yarnell, actress, starred in horror film Eve, was also the final Miss Rheingold Beer Girl in 1965. Arnold Copelson, film producer, won Academy Award for Platoon, also did Fugitive and Devil's Advocate.
Okay.
I'm trying to find a through line that connects those movies. Can't see it. Paul Allen, inventor, philanthropist, co-founder of Microsoft, gave billions to charities in education, wildlife, and environmental conservation, the arts, healthcare, community services, and more. Died at age 65 from non-Hodgkin lymphoma. Yep. Randy Safota, vocalist, lead singer of Randy and the Rainbows. Biggest, what's the name of their band? Biggest hit was Denise. Earl E. Bakken.
A girl's name, surprise.
Yeah. Inventor, developed the first external battery-operated transistorized wearable artificial pacemaker.
Wow.
In 1957.
That motherfucker is a badass.
He died at 94. Gilberto Benetton, fashion designer and entrepreneur, one of four siblings who owned Benetton Group. One of the siblings died earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Tony Joe White, singer-songwriter. Biggest hit was Polk Salad Annie in 1968 and writing Rainy Night in Georgia in 1969. Freddie Hart, country western musician. Biggest hit, Easy Lovin', one song of the year in 71 and 72.
Slow years, I guess.
Must have been. Jimmy Farrar, singer-songwriter, lead singer for Molly Hatchet, 80 to 82. Kenny Marks, Christian singer, got discovered on Billy Graham's Afterglow concert series.
What a weird name for a concert.
I know. Like, were they fucking Billy Graham? And it's just like, now you're caught in the afterglow, child.
Sing me a song. Man, put me to sleep.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Afraid you're going to get struck down if you make too much fun.
I like how you're distancing yourself from the Billy Graham shit talk.
Was that your dad's preferred televangelist?
No. No.
But he was in the top three?
No.
Top four?
No.
Top five. Mm-mm. Okay. You're just not even entertaining this thing.
I'm not.
You're not engaging.
I'm not going there.
I've noticed.
Yep. Nope.
That brings us to November. November was a rough month. Dave Rowland, country western singer, part of the singing trio Dave and Sugar.
I don't know.
That's what it fucking
Welcome
says,
Welcome to
man.
Two guys, all three of us.
And I don't. It was a trio, like Two Fools Rushing is a duo.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I don't know.
Who knows?
Roy Hargrove, jazz musician, band leader of the jazz group The RH Factor, which sounds really fucking scientific.
Yeah, it does.
They are the 2D6.
The rancid hemorrhoid factor.
They're the 2D6 of jazz
and science.
Okay. Won 2 Grammy awards. Sandra Locke, actress, was in movies The Heart is a Lonely Hunter and Willard. She was in more than that, though. But those are her
original roles. Willard?
Yes.
Okay.
71?
Yeah.
She did the voice of the rat?
No.
Oh.
She'd have been the love interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't
Before
the
rat. The
rat? That wasn't the rat.
Oh, okay.
That's when the boy has the falling out with the rat, because he meets a girl.
Oh.
And then there's like weird jealousy, and then shit gets, for a movie that's already fucked up, shit gets weird.
Okay.
True fucking story.
Two Fools Review?
Maybe we need to commentate that shit.
Okay.
That's not a no. Hey.
That face is typically followed by that's affirmative.
Listen. We gave people the movie comment, that like the commentary track that no one asked for on movies that we didn't watch beforehand to have prepped a commentary track when we did the Bill and Ted Saga.
Yes.
You didn't watch them ahead of time?
Well, We've seen them.
Oh, okay.
We didn't watch them in preparation, which in hindsight we should have. But that wouldn't have accounted for half of the problem we encountered in the second movie.
Bogus Journey? What's wrong with that?
Nothing, but this motherfucker fell asleep for 20 minutes.
Oh.
No, I didn't fall asleep. I passed out.
He passed out snoring into the microphone.
Beautiful.
Because we had the mics positioned in such a way.
Honestly, some of the most in-depth commentary you've had.
I got real quiet, and then I went from narrating the movie to narrating him sleeping until I finally woke him up.
That sounds entertaining.
Yep.
What episode was that?
101.
Yeah.
Because episode 100 was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yes. Right. I drank way too much, way too fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was like, no, this is a party, yeah! Woo!
And then he was just like, Just right up on, like, his nose was like.
Oh, I understand his projection, his volume. I can only imagine the snoring felt like it was just behind the mic.
It was, and it was fucking weird because,
from inside the microphone.
Because the microphone was, like, smack, like, he had leaned forward, like, as he dozed off, he leaned forward a little, so his nose was smashing into the microphone.
Yep. Oh, I was so drunk.
I have to chase that one down.
Donnie Axum, beauty pageant winner, Miss Arkansas and Miss America, both 1964, was also an author, TV executive producer, actress, philanthropist, and civic leader.
Civic leader?
I'm just saying, that's a lot of shit.
Yes,
That is a full life.
That's a pretty impressive resume.
What was the title of the card we did? And such as, and so on, such as... The beauty pageant dancer?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I played that video for you guys.
Wayne Maunder, actor, played Lieutenant Colonel George Armstrong Custer in the TV show Custer and Scott Lancer in Lancer. I guess he had the lead role. Douglas Rain, stage and voice actor, provided the voice for HAL 9000 Computer in 2001 A Space Odyssey. And then the following day, Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Pause for awesomeness.
Comic book writer, editor, publisher, creative and business head of Marvel Comics, 1941 to 2010. And then it's as famous for his cameo appearances in Marvel character movies. But he,
apparently they filmed like a...
Yeah, he's got a bunch of them. There's a bunch more that are
like just green screen, and they're going to wedge into everything.
In addition to that, also kind of famous for just being an awesome guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his, really long marriage is
to the love of his life.
And some awesome cameos on Big Bang, because those were some funny episodes where Sheldon storms into his house and stuff.
Catherine Scotty McGregor, actress, played Harriet Olsen on TV show Little House on the Prairie.
Wow.
Roy Clark.
The mom, Harriet?
I believe so. Roy Clark, country western musician and singer, hosted TV show Hee Haw, was very influential in promoting country music. William Goldman, screenwriter, novelist, playwright, won two Academy Awards, one for Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, and the other for All the President's Men. So... Apparently,
All the President's Men.
What?
He wrote it.
Screenwriter, novelist.
Oh, screenwriter. I'm like, wait, who was he in that?
He wasn't. Okay. But there is one unifying thread between both of those films. Robert Redford was in both of those movies.
Yes.
That's a good anchor to place if you're
going to. Yeah, if you're going to.
If you're going to build, you can build upon a movie series, yeah.
Robert Blythe, UK actor, played Richard Fagin Happlethwaite.
Fagin.
Happlethwaite?
Yes.
This is, apparently you're familiar.
I am.
Okay. In TV show High Hopes.
Yep.
Okay.
My mom.
All right.
Yeah.
Nicholas Roeg, director, cinematographer from the UK, directed Performance and The Man Who Fell to Earth.
Ooh.
I love that movie.
Yes.
Well, I'm not sure. I know that.
It's got Bowie. Bowie is in the lead role.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a great flick.
He plays an alien who falls to Earth and in trying to kind of leave Earth to go home, he falls in with a weird crowd, gets a music career.
Kind of sounds like the... Stranger to Strange Land kind of feel to it.
It's somewhat. Kind of. And then, he gets a music career, and then...
Which is a book I only read because of a song.
It's, mm-hmm. I don't know, it's fucking weird.
But quality.
Bernardo Bertolucci, director, screenwriter from Italy, directed The Last Tango in Paris and The Last Emperor. Steve Hillenburg, cartoonist, directed and produced and wrote SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yep.
Somber day in the...
Yeah. I'm not a huge SpongeBob fan, but I saw that and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
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 It's really weird because whenever we do SpongeBob books at work,
yeah.
Even though we don't do a lot because basically we just reprint the ones we have out there, that right. They don't change a lot. But his signature and credit are on the back of each one, and the title page they have.
Yeah,
he gets
a piece.
A piece, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a Nickelodeon produced thing. It's, he created it and they give him credit.
And then closing out November, George H.W. Bush.
Which, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but damn, the flags are still at half mast. When the fuck is this over?
I don't think that has to do with him.
What is it?
What, don't know why they're still at half mast.
What else happened?
What
did I miss?
I mean, the fall of Western civilization, really.
Yeah,
well,
there is that.
Yeah, there's that, but...
And with the closing of the government, we don't have anyone on the payroll who can raise them now.
Well, they're down at the bank.
I don't think there's anyone in the government to tell them they can put them back up.
I guess.
There's that as well.
I'm just like, when is this going to be over?
All the national parks that had been staying open now have to close because of trash.
Yep.
Because of trash?
Because of trash.
There's no one to clean up the trash, man.
So now there's just... They're like garbage dumps is what they're turning into. And so all those national parks...
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the last time the government shut down, it was because of Ted Cruz and his whole Tea Party shit, right?
Yes.
And this time it's shut down because of Trump and his wall shit.
Yes.
Both times the government comes to a complete stop is because the Republicans are throwing a tantrum...
Yes. Are you surprised by this?
No.
Okay.
No. I just want to make sure that it's said.
Now, I have to say, the best description that I read of anyone throwing shade at his wall was when, I believe it was Elizabeth Warren, called it a beaded curtain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I've seen the pictures of what he's talking about, and it fucking looks like a beaded curtain.
Yeah. Yep.
Pointy fucking sticks.
Yep.
I had to explain that to my children because they're like, "What? That's not a wall." I was like, "No, honey, it's not a wall. It's pointy fucking sticks."
Yeah.
Anyways, back to George Bush, 41st President of the United States from 89 to 93, 43rd Vice President of the United States, 81 to 89, member of the U.S. House of Representatives, 67 to 71, Lieutenant, what is JG? Is that JAG?
I believe so, yeah.
U.S. Navy, World War II, 42 to 45, died at 94.
A friend of mine shared this. Right now in America, people are donating money they don't have to build a wall they don't need to solve a problem that doesn't exist. Man, imagine if they were okay with giving a bunch of money away to like healthcare or school funding or literally anything positive.
Yep.
That brings us to December. Thankfully, a short month.
Yeah.
Ken Berry, actor, dancer, singer, starred in F Troop from 65 to 67 and the Andy Griffith Show from 60 to 68. And you may not know the name, but you'd know him if you saw him. Leftmost Picture.
Oh, yeah.
Leftmost Picture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you don't know the name, but you know the guy. He's been in a lot. He's a character actor.
Yeah,
definitely.
Phil Bosco, actor, starred in the movie The Savages, won Tony Award for playing Lend Me a Tenor. Peter Armitage, actor from the UK, played Bill Webster on the TV show Coronation Street. Pete Shelley, singer-songwriter, lead singer and guitarist for the group Buzzcocks, which is a fucking baller name.
Yes.
I don't even know what they played. I don't care what they played.
I just want to have that album.
Awesome name.
I just want to have that album sitting out.
Nancy Wilson, singer, triple Grammy Award winner. You Don't Know How Glad I Am, Guess Who I Saw Today. Penny Marshall, actress, director, producer, played Laverne DeFazio on TV show Laverne and Shirley from 76 to 83. Frank Adonis, actor, played Patsy in Raging Bull, and Anthony Stabile in Goodfellas. And June Whitfield, actress. She was in Happy Ever After and Terry and June. And that's what I got on my list.
So I guess that just leaves one more to talk about. Not covered on that list, because I guess not technically a celebrity in the world.
But very influential.
Yeah. In April, my father, Richard Kreider, passed away, murdered by his own pancreas, as I've gone to calling it lately. I don't even know where to begin.
Begin where you want, end where you want. Talk about it as much or as little as you like. That hasn't changed.
I know. I'll start at the end and work backwards.
Okay.
My dad was in the hospital for the better part of 5 months. Actually, almost 6 months. 5 and a half. He went in December 15th for a random, what we thought at the time was random abdomen pain, which turned out to be a raging case of pancreatitis. And when he passed, my sister and I, in that way that my family seems to have, just dark humor, we joked that his pancreas did what his brain couldn't in killing him. I'll stick to the abridged version. I learned a lot from my dad. Not all of it good. definitely learned how to take a joke. Because, goddamn, you could not be around my dad if you couldn't take a joke. Definitely learned that, you know, when you have a family, making sure that there's food on the table and bills are paid and all that is the priority. And it doesn't matter what it takes to make that happen. That's what the job is. It's been 8 months, and this holiday season sucked. I didn't want to do Christmas. I didn't want to do any of that. I didn't even want to put up Christmas decorations. I mean, last year he was already in the hospital by the time Christmas rolled around. But, you know, we were holding out hope at that point that, you know, oh, we just got to get him out of the hospital and then we'll do, you know, whatever. This was the first Christmas where there was a hole in the whatever, you know, your family dynamic or whatever. So, yeah, it's... It sucked. It sucked a lot. I guess the good news is, you know, everything gets better. It doesn't suck as much as it did in April. It doesn't suck as much as it did at my birthday. Hopefully by the time we get to April again, we'll celebrate my mom's birthday instead of, doing everything we could to not say anything about it being her birthday 2 days after he died.
So, yeah. And that's about all I got to say.
Is it cliche that the hole that you feel? I mean, the only reason you feel it is because that person was there. I mean,
no, it's not cliche.
I mean, he meant that much.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why.
It's not cliche,
I mean,
at all.
At least, I think it is cliche to say, at least there's that. You had your differences with your dad.
Absolutely.
Especially in your adult life. You know, your views, your life decisions and what.
There were multiple times that my dad and I didn't speak for very long stretches.
But still, it came back.
Yes, yes.
It wasn't a, I'll walk away.
Yep.
You know, I don't need it.
Yep. I think the thing that sucked the most, it sucked before he died because he was in the hospital for so long in ICU with a trach. I've worked where I am for 10.5 years now. For 9.5 years, every day, on my way home from work, I called my dad. And that wasn't, it sounds really, heartfelt and whatever, but it didn't start as that, because it started because my mom was working in Columbus, my dad had significant health issues, and me calling on my way home from work.
It was a check-in.
It was a check-in to make sure that, you know,
you're doing good.
He was alive. He was conscious. He wasn't, you know, all that. But then, you know, after that, it just became a thing. 9.5 years every day from 6 to, call it 6:20, I talked to my dad every day. And then in December that stopped. And
that's a hell of a routine to slam the brakes on.
But. Yeah. And that's probably, I won't lie, of all the things I could possibly miss about the man, that 20-minute phone call every day, that is the hardest thing. Because my mom, even after my mom started working from home, my mom would just let him, you know, she'd leave the room or whatever, and it was just a good father-son talk. And was able to hash out a lot of, you know, life lessons in 20 minutes a day on the phone.
Mm-hmm. I kid. Me and my father don't have a lot in common.
Yeah.
He's a country boy.
Yeah.
You know, he grew up hunting and, you know,
yeah,
pretty much living outside. And the outside is something I walk through to get to the next building.
Right.
I'm not an outside person. But whereas I don't have interests the same as my dad, our personalities are so similar.
I can see that.
It's. I mean, I can joke and talk with my dad about anything, even bullshit I don't have any place talking about. But, you know, I can, you know, generally have a conversation and be interested.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one thing where my brother, I don't think, has that.
I could see that.
Brian, I don't know, lack of patience. He tries to make too much meaning out of every little thing instead of just enjoying the moment.
He's looking for that greater substance.
That sitcom heartfelt moment.
Right.
You know,
right.
Where the audience, oh, you know.
Right.
But it's more, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it got to the, in I'd say probably summer last year. Probably summer the year before. my dad had retired from being a pastor and for years. And the pastor that was at the church that he was attending had retired, and they kept trying to find a new pastor, and they didn't like any of the pastors that they had interviewed. And they finally agreed, the elders, my dad was an elder, they were going to offer it to the youth pastor who was at the church already. So they brought him in and they sat him down and they talked to him, and he said, well, the only way I'm going to do it is if you agree to let Richard mentor me. And my dad was like, well, I'm okay with that. And the rest of the elders were like, no, that's great. So it even got to a point where, spoiler alert for those who may not have caught on yet, I'm an atheist. It got to a point where my dad and I were able to have conversations about something as silly, you know, like, because the pastor that they, Jeff knows the pastor, Dink Porter.
Oh!
You know Dink.
I do know Dink.
Tragic name, I must say.
No, it's a nickname. Okay. His
first... Met him at the funeral.
You knew Dink before?
I don't remember him from anything but the funeral. I'm
you don't
sorry.
Remember him from Star Collectors?
No.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry.
No, that's... I just... I'm really surprised because...
The man left an impression, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which is why I'm surprised you don't remember him from our time at Star, because he was that guy selling sports cards up front.
Then I probably interacted with him on the random days that Larry made me work the sports desk.
Yeah. Oh, I'm confident.
Because that was a thing that happened every fucking Monday, because every Monday... why am I blanking on his name? Hyper super conspiracy guy.
Scott.
Thank you. Scott was off on Mondays, and someone had to run the sports counter, and so Jeff can do it. He's young. He knows sports.
Yeah.
He sports balls.
Yeah.
And then Larry got super impressed because I made sales. I made sales because I cut people deals.
Mm-hmm.
I would talk people through a box of cards a pack at a time, giving them a quarter off the pack price.
There was also that time that we had 1972 Tops, and I remember because it was baseball and the cards were all black. The lesson we learned on Oak Luck with black border, Tops had not learned in 1972 with their cardboard. These were unopened wax packs, and we were selling them for like $50 a pop, and I'll never forget, because I'm overworking the Beanie Baby counter, and Jeff has suckered this guy into going through this box a pack at a time at $49 a pack until he hit the card he was looking for. I'll give you a dollar off a pack until you hit the card he's looking for. The dude bought the entire box.
Because I made it perfectly clear to people, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing up at the sports counter. I have no business being up here. I don't know who any of these athletes are. Let's make a deal.
Which color uniform do you like best?
I have all of zero skin in this game. Yeah. Let's make a deal.
Yeah. So at $49 a pack, a dollar off, and the dude was like, yeah, that's great. I'll do it. Never got the card he was after. I know the card he was after because I was actually thinking, at $50, if I pull a Thurman Munson rookie card and send it off to PSA and it even comes back as a 7.5, I just made 10 grand.
Okay.
And the guy went through more than two-thirds of a box.
And it was how many packs in a box?
I don't know.
I
have no idea.
30?
End of the 36?
Day, end of the 36? Day, though, it was the bullshit like that. Where Larry's like, I'm going to keep you on the sports day, sports counter every Monday. Because I would have stupid...
Round up, $50.
$50.
For 30 packs.
Yes.
Holy shit.
And I bet you the guy opened at least 24 packs. At least 24 at $49 a pack. Never saw the card he wanted. But he bought every last motherfucking pack.
Is the other shit worth anything?
Yeah, I mean, there's other valuable stuff, but Thurman Munson's rookie card is the end-all, be-all card in that set.
Okay.
It would be like opening up Magic Arabian Nights and pulling Juzzum.
Okay.
Same deal. Or opening Beta and getting a Power 9.
Okay.
I do okay with sales face-to-face.
Yeah. I'll never forget because I'm sitting over there watching this because Mondays was not a Beanie Baby day. Nobody came in for Beanie Babies on Monday because the shipment came in. Our new stock came in on Tuesdays.
Beanie Babies.
Beanie Babies. I sold Beanie Babies. And Larry was very clear.
Expert.
Larry was very clear when he hired me for the job. I'm not hiring you because you know anything about Beanie Babies.
But you okay?
He was like, I'm hiring you because I'm confident that you'll learn about Beanie Babies. You're easy on the eyes, and I think you'll flirt with a lady to get a sale.
Oh, God.
And I looked at him and I said,
is it any wonder this place went out of business because they were fucking criminals?
I looked at him and I was like, I don't think I have a problem with flirting with anyone. He was like, it's okay. They're generally, you know, in their 40s, and they're pretty easy on the eyes, too. And I was like, oh, well, then I'm okay.
And I would constantly see him at the beanie counter, sweet-talking. I'm going to use air quotes now. Ladies in their 40s. That surprisingly had a significant amount of blue hair.
Who...
laying down some cash or some bean bags with whiskers.
How much would you spend on a bean bag with whiskers?
$4.
How about $7,500?
On one?
Uno. Humphrey the Camel. Yeah.
Yeah, we knew how to sell shit. There was a time where we were pretty good at selling shit.
Gen 1 Humphrey the Camel. I was not allowed to unlock the thing to take it out. There was a dial that I could crank on the side of the case.
I remember the dial. And it would rotate the figurine within the case.
Yeah. I could do that so that they could look at it and inspect it, but I could not unlock that until I had a credit card or cash in hand. And if they paid cash, I could just hand them the case.
Because they didn't want you touching it either.
No, because at $7,500 in cash, he'd just buy another case.
Okay. Yeah. Did you give him a key for the case?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the lady was like, "Whoa, I'd really like a case." And I was like, "I'm only allowed to give you the case if you pay cash." And she was like, "Are you serious?" And I said, "Yeah, it's the only way I'm allowed to let go of the case." She was like, "Okay, I'll be right back." No shit. I watched her walk out of the front of the store, across the street, down to the bank, and came back and counted out 75 $100 bills. She said, "I'm fairly confident you can take care of the tax on that, right?" Yep. Handled. I walked back into Larry's office and I handed him $7,500. And I said, "You need to figure out what the tax is going to be to take out of that." And he was like, "Why?" I said, "The camel's gone." "You didn't have to make a deal or anything?" "Nope. The case is gone."
"The deal was sales tax."
Yeah. And he was like, "Okay, so the camel's gone, the case is gone, and this is cash." "Yep." "Cool. Good job. Now get back out there and sell more."
And he put it in his pocket and never reported it.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. Yeah. Yeah. But,
See, I think I only went into Star Collectors couple times for Magic cards, and the place, it was a sensory overload or something. I just couldn't do it.
I do have one more death I'd like to add to the year. What? Doug Castle.
Who name?
Not on the grand scale. It was a popular
person or famous or anything, but he was...
He was a big deal locally.
He was a big deal locally. He was my middle school principal.
Right.
He ran the Mihawk Relays from the 70s up into the late 90s. He was a high school principal. He was a high school science teacher. He was the principal at John Simpson forever.
Never stole $1,500 from the school.
No. He was a man of integrity. I got jumped when I was in sixth grade on my way home from school by a bunch of eighth graders. Wasn't on school time. I took my bloodied ass home and my dad called the cops and all that and went back to school the next day, and Mr. Castle had found out about it and pulled me in his office, and I never had anyone fuck with me ever again. The entire time I was in middle school.
Gave you a gun?
No. No. He had me point out in the yearbook who the eighth graders were who jumped me.
Mm-hmm.
And they ceased to go to John Simpson Middle School. There was a... he had brain cancer. And that's what finally got him. But in July, they did a big thing at the school to remember him while he was still alive. Because he had kind of gotten a little down, you know, missing his legacy because he couldn't remember a lot because of the cancer. So there was like an entire auditorium full of people. And my assistant principal at Simpson was telling this story. It would have been like 3 or 4 years before I was... Like, I would have been in, like, second grade or something. And Mr. Castle came down into the cafeteria, and my assistant principal's name was Mike Dick. And that's not a joke. Mike Dick. Mr. Dick. And he walked like he had a corn cob or something shoved up his ass. Like, there was a gait issue there.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Castle came downstairs and got him and said, "Look, we got a situation up in the 8th grade hallway. I need your help. Come on." So on the way up the stairs, Mr. Castle relays to him that there is an 8th grader in a class who has a handgun in his pants in class. So Mr. Dick's like, "What the fuck are we going to do?" And Mr. Castle's like, "Okay, here's the plan. When we get up here, you're going to circle around so that he doesn't see you, and you're going to stand over here. Okay? And I'm going to get him to come out of class. I'm going to tell him there's an emergency at home and that his mom called and that we need to get him ready to go because he's got to go. Okay? And when he gets out the door, you're going to jump behind him and lift his shirt up over his head, and I'm going to pull the gun out of his pants."
That is so Looney Tunes.
So Looney Tunes!
Do you miss going to St. Pete's?
So, Mr. Dick's like, "This is the most insane shit I've ever thought about." But I'm like, "Okay, yeah, we'll try that." So they get him to come out into the hallway, and Mr. Dick pulls it up over the shirt up over his head, and Mr. Castle pulls the gun out of his pants. And in the middle of an auditorium full of people there to honor this man sitting in the front row, Mr. Dick says, "And the only thing I can think of the entire time that I have now pulled this kid's shirt up over his head is, God, I hope Doug doesn't shoot his cock off." Anyway, after Mr. Castle retired, he ended up working for Ohio State as an academic coach for the football team. When they tore down John Simpson, there was a big sandstone wall that wrapped around the front of the school that's now at Arlen Field. At the, what would that be? That'd be the east end of the stadium. It's called the Castle Wall. Big deal. Like a second father to me for a significant portion of my life. He's the kind of guy that you want your educators and your administrators to be. So, but yeah. I think with that,
our marathon 2-hour episode is over.
Oh, buddy, we're two and a half.
Wow.
This is
a non-spoiler.
This is the biggest throwback we've had in a long time because The closest you can get to a throwback is back when we used to do one episode, and it would be like three and a half.
Sometimes 4 hours
Back before I joined
us? Back before you joined us, and we would ramble on like crazy motherfuckers and get drunk as motherfuckers. Like, just shit.
Hooker news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we're almost to the end.
But I believe, let me set you up if I can.
Yeah.
In another throwback to a time where Chad and I used to engage in...
political commentary?
Dramatic readings.
Yes.
Which,
am I going to try and read this dramatically?
I don't know. That's up to you.
Okay, I'm going to try.
That's up to you. I don't want to set a bar that you're not able to hit.
I'm going
to
try.
But I was going to tee it up for you, and okay. Then whatever happened, happened.
Tee it up.
Okay. So, in the history of dramatic readings of such delightful, historically significant things as Iced Cube's Good Day, there was Chad and his rendition of prostitute rap.
Yeah, I
forgot. Prostitute.
Oh man, it was
rap.
Oh, just him talking about
mouth sores and vaginal excretion.
No. Just like sucking dick on black men, but he didn't say black men. He said the other word. It was like a week after he told me it was not okay for me to use it. Fucking Good Day. But that's neither here nor there, and I'm not gonna get shitty about that because that's been a while ago.
I came to the understanding that it was
artistically disingenuous.
Yes.
To omit.
To censor it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, and I was
wrong. I can see that.
I was wrong to censor him.
But that's again, neither here nor there. To even my own personal reading of something that I had written. And so with that, I will turn it over to Chad, who I believe is reading...
I am reading...
Much as the Bible
had
Paul's letters to various individuals, I believe Chad is reading a very specific piece of very Christian correspondence.
You can go ahead and say that.
From Satan himself, Wayne LaPierre...
So
French Satan.
Oui, oui.
I went over to my parents' house today to get the mail in.
Because
my mom is currently in the hospital. She's ill. And I saw this addressed to my father 8 months after the fact that he has passed. From the office of the Executive Vice President, Wayne LaPierre. Dear Richard, there has never been a more important time for you to accept the enclosed NRA membership card and carry it with pride. Right now, hundreds of gun-hating politicians, judges, radical billionaires, and freedom-hating media elites are attacking your freedom with everything in their arsenal. They're attacking in the courts, the state legislatures, the media, and even in Congress. They have spent decades passing anti-gun regulations, packing our courts with gun-hating judges, and they're promising to fight on and never surrender until the day they tear the heart out of our Second Amendment freedoms. I wish I was embellishing. Oh, God.
That is just some powerful imagery.
I am three paragraphs in first page.
And I don't know how many paragraphs there are, but there's a shitload on the backside of that page as well. So,
if you want to save your guns and your precious freedoms for you and your children, please act now, in all caps. Please accept this card and join the NRA today. No other symbol packs the power of your NRA membership card. That's because this card has, underlined here, stopped hundreds of schemes, end of the underline, to ban your guns and ammo, make you pay sky-high taxes on firearms purchases, and shut down gun shows, ranges, and hunting lands. That's right, a card you're going to put in your wallet has done all that. How could this simple membership card be so powerful? God, I was just questioning this. Because behind this card stands the ironclad commitment of over 5 million NRA members. That last
I'm sorry that you turned it into a fucking back and forth dialogue
with himself.
I'm losing it.
You challenged him with a dramatic
reading. I did.
5 million NRA members to fight gun ban politicians and media elites who attack our guns and trample our freedoms. Okay.
This, because I'm going to need this number later. Okay. Yes, 5 million NRA members.
5 million okay. NRA members.
All right.
This card offers crystal clear proof to our elected leaders that if they push gun registration, licensing, and prohibition, then they can expect defeat in the next election. 5 million?
Apparently.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
If it's that promise, underlined here, backed by NRA membership muscle.
5 million, that's what, 2% of the national population?
Something like that, yeah.
Give or take.
That stops gun banners in their tracks.
Okay.
So if you believe with all your heart in the purpose of
after 20 years, I mean, we do have similar responses to things.
So if you believe with all your heart...
K, is that KKK?
Oh, whoa. In the purpose and power of NRA membership card, put it in your wallet. Then, make your personal commitment to the future of our firearms freedoms by joining the NRA today. For a fraction of what it costs to buy guns, gear, and ammo, you can stand and fight with the NRA. That was caps.
So don't buy the gun, just buy the card.
Wait, fisticuffs fight? I don't understand the context here.
Yeah, I know.
They physically get to accost NRA members?
I think they're actually encouraging you to shoot people.
It's caps locked, man. You can, caps lock, stand and fight with NRA. To defend our shooting and hunting traditions.
I kind of want to join just so that I can show up at an NRA event. I'm ready to throw.
And if you join the NRA in the next 30 days, you can join at low introductory new member rates.
Oh, here's where they ask for money.
Yes. That's right.
Well, they are going bankrupt.
If you join the NRA today, you'll get a full year of NRA membership for just... $30.
Wow.
Regularly $45.
That is a savings.
What the fuck do your membership get you?
Or, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Or, you can join for 3 years.
You don't have to sell me on it. Sell him on it.
For only $75.
Wait, that's more than 30 a year.
No,
3 years.
It was 35 for a year?
30 for a year.
30 for a year.
3 for 75.
Well, so that's 25 a year.
But get this. Wait, hold on. Regularly, $100.
Okay, so it's already discounted at the 3-year rate.
Yeah. The longer your commitment, the more you'll save.
So if you commit yourself to them forever, based off the way the price decreases...
It'll be free.
It should be free.
I shouldn't have to pay anything.
Right.
Yeah.
They'll send me a card and we can call it a day.
Yeah.
Cool.
Plus...
Oh, there's more?
Oh, dude. I am here.
Oh, shit. You've got, two-thirds.
There's half the Bible yet.
Yeah.
Plus, if you join today... God, this is hard to read. I'll send you three special benefits. The first benefit I'll send you. NRA's heavy-duty duffel bag. Nothing gives you years of service and says you'll fight for freedom like this rugged and distinctive bag.
Nothing makes your fellow citizens look at you like you're here to kill people. Like a bag full of stuff with NRA written on the side of it.
Bearing the NRA logo. Here we go. Benefit number two. The second benefit I'll send you. Your choice of an NRA magazine. Get month after month
pictures of guns.
Of eye-popping photography.
It's not even pictures. It's just embosses so you feel the guns.
Information-packed reviews of the hottest new guns, gear, and ammo. Hundreds of hunting tips. Plus all the news and strategies you need to defend your freedoms.
Against
school Available children. In digital or print.
Again, I don't know why you're selling me on this. Sell him.
The third benefit I'll send you.
His generation is the one that's notorious for voting.
Now remember, it already said, put the card in your wallet. Because that card is backed by 5 million people.
Yes.
And that card has single-handedly defeated so many things. The third benefit I'll send you. Your NRA membership credentials package.
But I thought I already had that.
With your personalized membership card.
Oh.
So you have access to all your NRA benefits. Free admission to NRA's Guns, Gears, and Outfitter show.
That sounds terrifying.
Special savings from NRA member partners. Oh. Do they still have any? And more.
American Airlines.
I don't know. I feel like if they've lost FedEx, they've probably just about lost everything.
Yeah. Can I send
they
you
lost
these?
FedEx? Yeah, they lost FedEx. That was a big deal. That made the news like a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
FedEx.
Is that when they started the whole stay in your lane thing?
About that time,
yeah. Yeah, it was right after. Yeah.
Can I send you these three benefits today?
No.
If your answer is yes, and I hope it is, thank you, Wayne. I hope that you have a great day. In hell. Then please complete the enclosed NRA membership acceptance and return it to me today. Remember, NRA is the one firewall standing between your Second Amendment rights and those who would take your freedoms away!
That's not how firewalls work.
I know it's not.
Yes. All of us have some history in IT. That's not how a firewall works.
And typically, that's not how the Second Amendment works either.
Well, Did the Founding Fathers think of the Second Amendment as a firewall? Because if they did, their computer technology knowledge was light years ahead of the rest of the world.
Right, right.
Because that's not how a firewall works.
But our strength...
That's where you lost me, Chad.
Our strength to fight and win comes from you.
You think the Founding Father with wooden teeth wouldn't think of firewalls?
I know.
And with our biggest battles just ahead, we need your help now more than ever. You are the key to victory. No one can take your place on the front lines of the battle for freedom's future.
Unless you're a Russian with money.
That's right. Please accept your NRA membership card today. Thank you for your friendship and support of our right to keep and bear arms.
Comrades.
I look forward to hearing from you soon. Yours in freedom, Wayne LaPierre.
I didn't know you could sign a letter that way. I guess I'm going to start signing all my letters that way. Yours in freedom. Regardless of context, I'm going to sign my emails that way. Everything is now signed yours in freedom. Because I want them to question my sanity.
Behind the wall.
Yes. P.S. Remember, if you join in the next 30 days, that sounds so much like one of those infomercials. Call in the next 10 minutes.
P.S. That's brief.
But wait. Oh, wait. There's more.
You'll save $15 or more on NRA membership and get NRA's heavy-duty duffel bag and your choice of an NRA magazine. $15
or more? They can't even give me a number?
Free!
Yeah, it's some kind of savings.
So, because I know the NRA has these listening things that scour podcasts and whatnot.
Oh, do they?
NRA!
Oh, so then they should have already listened to our previous coverage of Thomas the Tank Engine.
And now I've read my dad's letter from Wayne LaPierre. So, dear Wayne, hey, this is Chad, Richard's son, you know, that guy you sent that great letter to. He died. He died 8 months ago. Thank you for the comedy gold, but on his behalf, I'm going to have to decline your offer of membership, mainly because I don't think arming a cardboard tube of ash with a firearm is responsible. Sorry.
I think he's referring to his dad.
Oh, okay.
Or, that's right. We had to put him in the cabinet.
Because the cat was playing with it, right?
Yes, the cat was. I could, if you would like, arm the fishing bobber full of my dad's ashes with a firearm. I am going to ask that you provide the firearm, and you're going to need to make sure that a fishing bobber can fire it. You do that, I'll arm the bobber, and I'll you send me an NRA card.
I've seen that some of the members...
I'll slide it under there.
IQ is not an obstacle.
I think your dad in his current state is probably a better member than most of the current members.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that was my reading.
That was your reading.
That was my reading. I'm going to hold on to this letter forever because holy shit.
That's magic. That is magical.
Did I give it a dramatic enough?
You did. You turned it into...
You pulled it off. It's Oscar like worthy.
You channeled Clint Eastwood in the chair.
Okay. Okay.
Which one of you was the chair?
Whew, I don't know. See, I was trying to go for this, like, almost macho man.
Because I thought you pulled off that very Clint Eastwood yelling at a chair thing.
Yeah.
Partway through, where you were carrying on the dialogue with yourself.
Yes. I got kind of lost, because, I mean...
There's a lot of emotion in there.
There is a shit ton of emotion.
Wayne is known for his feels. And
yeah.
For what boils down to us, send like us money, we'll give you a card and a bag.
Yeah, yeah. Magazines.
Well, it's also
Porn.
It's also a save us from bankruptcy.
Yes, it is. Yes,
that's
it
neither
is.
Here nor there.
Yeah.
So does that
when
mean
I'm actively working towards their bankruptcy?
I know.
I think it would be counterproductive.
Does that mean I get to cover my piece now?
You can.
Fantastic. So, as he said, there are roughly 5 million card-carrying members of the NRA. So, folks, I implore upon you. Here's what you're going to need to do. You're going to need to avoid the alcohol because that's going to give you whiskey dick or give you dry badge. You don't want that. You might end up needing some Viagra.
Okay.
Because 5 million people is a lot of people. And if you're going to fuck the NRA, you're going to want to be able to stay hard for the entire event should get something out of it, too.
It's January 2nd. We have a whole year. Let's get it done.
Wait.
500... Or 5 million.
Hold on, we're going to do the math on this.
Wait, are we doing the math on how much semen that is?
No.
Okay.
How many Olympic sized pools?
I missed that. I mean, that was.
That oh wait, no.
That today, was the best math we did in an episode.
Today's the 2nd, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that means there's only 363 days.
Yes, because this is not a leap year.
Yes.
Oh man. Okay. So, divided by 24. Divided by 60. I mean, that's only 9.56 people a minute you gotta fuck.
Hold on, but that's assuming that we only have one listener. I know we've got more than one.
Well, yeah, that's true. Now, that's true.
It all has to be consensual.
So, divided by 8.
No. We're
I need to offer,
that's
need
including
to
us.
I need to offer some minor clarifications. Because I'm not advocating the rape of every NRA member.
Yeah, no.
No. But they'll gladly let you stick their guns in them.
It does need to be consensual, and they need to leave completely dissatisfied. Thoroughly. You need to leave happy. They need to leave sad. But it needs to be consensual.
As they're unzipping, you just blast in their face.
This is... There you go. That's
before they even get their mouths on you.
Well, and if that's the case...
Dirty,
if that's the case, then
you
don't need the Viagra because that's just going to prolong the misery.
Yeah.
Most likely for you. Now,
if you just want to knock on their door and hit them in the face with a used condom full of your own semen,
no,
I accept that as a fucking.
No.
I accept that as a fucking.
That is gross sexual imposition. That is
also
a crime.
Potentially sexual assault because there's fluid involved. Yeah.
But it is fucking.
It's fucked up. That said,
you know what? Jizz in an envelope, mail it to them, ask for them for your support. That's basically what they did to us.
That's fucking weird. I feel like there's a crime involved, but I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
But I still feel like that's not legal.
Probably not.
It's probably dry by the time it gets there, so it's just a crusty envelope.
Wow.
I'm old. It might come out as dust anyway.
So you're just... Oh, good. So you're just giving him an anthrax scare.
Yeah. Weaponized support.
Here comes Pop with the anthrax scare again.
It's white and powdery.
Oh,
shit. Oh, my God.
So there you go, folks. Fuck the NRA. I told you we would turn shit around after the downer that was what ended up being 35 plus minutes of people dying and dead. And also, I haven't said this in a while, and I feel bad about that. So I think I'm going to get back to reminding everybody of this at the end of the episodes. Because it matters. To me, at least. Even if it doesn't matter to anybody else. I implore upon you, one thing. All kidding about fucking the NRA aside. Although we're kind of serious about that.
I am.
Don't send us rape pics of you fucking the NRA, because we don't want those.
We won't want to be implicated.
Some of us would be mandated reporters, and we would have to report you.
There is that.
I don't want to be implicated in that.
I don't, because then there's the whole we told you to do it, and I don't want to. Would we have to talk to Congress, or would it be the FBI?
I'm kind of drunk, so.
Okay. Let's consensually fuck the NRA. Which I know loses a little bit when I tell you to do it consensually.
It's kind of stomach turning.
As I've been told with some things that I say that I'm apparently not allowed to say, which is why you never hear it on air. You only hear me go, I gotta stop the show for a second. I'm not gonna say it now. Don't look all concerned.
Okay.
I haven't said it on air before. I'm not gonna do it now.
Okay.
But it, regardless of all that bullshit shenanigans, please, everyone, the one thing I ask, it's 2019, and oh my God, America's a shit show. And that's on a good day. And then there are the days where he's left alone in the White House for Christmas, and it's just a fucking twit storm. A tweet storm? Is that, that's the term, right? Tweet storm?
Twat storm.
It's a twat storm.
Twat storm.
It's a twat storm of misshapen hair and poor spray tans of just a giant man-child crying because someone won't play with him and build a wall and pay for it because he's a fucking baby. And in light of all that...
Oh, we're talking about Trump. Okay.
Yeah, I was going somewhere.
Sorry.
In light of all that, I ask that you do one single thing. When you're not fucking the NRA or making fun of Das Orangenfuhrer.
Ooh, I like that.
Just be excellent to each other, please. The bards asked us to be excellent to each other, and so I ask you to be excellent to each other. And I think that's enough of us rambling. We'll see you next time.
10 hours later.
It does feel that way.
Yeah.
Any parting shot, Ray?
Nope. No, I got
shaking your head. All right,
hit him in the face.
There you go.